And that's the hardest part. And today everything is different. There's no action. I have to wait around like everyone else. Can't even get decent food. Right after I got here, I ordered some spaghetti with marinara sauce and I got egg noodles and ketchup. I'm an average nobody. Get to live the rest of my life like a schnook.
We're the School of Rock. I'm the Rocketeer.
The Rock of who?
Well, it's called Tron.
It's called the Third Man.
It's called the Kiss of the Dragon.
Kiss my ass!
He was known as the Glimmer Man.
Looking for the army of the 12 monkeys.
We got a Black Hawk down, we got a Black Hawk down.
He say you brave runner.
Tell him I'm eating.
These drug cartels represent a clear and present danger.
And this year's Miss Congeniality.
I'd like to take his face off.
Authority is not given to you to deny the return of the king.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Not like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it.
Welcome to the lair, Kingston.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Just like you on this island, Dr. Moore.
I hear this, Goldfinger.
Code name? Thunderbolt.
Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
The Bible calls this day Armageddon.
You are now listening to your cinema.
All right, welcome to episode 95 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. It is a cool 60 degrees outside. Blue skies on a cloud in sight. Hope it's your weather report. Hope that helps you out wherever and whenever you are. Also, weather is nice and clear. Not the weather's clear. So is the traffic. So that's a traffic report, Cinema Crespediso. With me is my co-host, post-Halloween, Drew Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
How's it going, man?
Post-Halloween, Drew Cogburn.
Post-Halloween, Drew Cogburn.
Am I a different person now?
We're all different people now. We crossed that Rubicon of time and space from pre-Halloween to post-Halloween. Now we're on our way to Thanksgiving, rocketing towards Christmas.
And then into the new year.
And then we just do it all over again. God damn it. God damn it. We got a special guest, three-time guest. So excited about this. So great having this guy back. Man of many nicknames, the Video Burner, Cool Carl. We just call him simply Carl Verner. How's it going?
It's going great, guys.
There you go, buddy. Nice to see you, man.
It's good to be here. Good to see you guys again.
Yes, your first time in the new studio, Crespediso Studio 2.0.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I like the posters. The artwork is fantastic.
I like the wraparound feel. It feels like cool and cozy, you know. Yeah, we're all in this together, you know.
Yes.
But pretty soon we'll be moving on to 3.0 before you know it.
Fantastic.
Always evolving the show, which is a good thing.
Good deal.
So how you been, man? Good?
I've been super awesome, super busy.
Yeah.
Life is good.
Excellent.
I've been hustling my ass off.
Good.
Got mad projects coming up.
Excellent, excellent. Yes. We'll be talking about those projects at the beginning of the second half of the show. Very
Fantastic.
Excited to hear about some of these things.
Cool.
You already told me a little bit about it, you know, off mic, and it sounds very exciting.
Very cool.
So very excited to talk about that. So because we have so much to talk about, plus a lot of movie news, a couple cool things for a second half, let's just go ahead and get this thing started. We do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, and we got to get that started with the Netflix theme song. Here we go.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
All right, there you go. Netflix Pick of the Week theme song is the... I did just have to go through the Randomizer 9000. There's like maybe 40 options in there. There were like 50.
Okay.
I pulled 10 of them out of there today. Not on the Instant anymore.
Right on.
Because, you know, it's the beginning of the month.
It's the beginning of the month.
They put movies on. They take them off. Oh, uh-huh. It's so frustrating. But Drew gives us a thumbs up. We're good. So, Carl, if you don't mind, let everyone know, what is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week?
Django Unchained.
Oh, snap. They just put that one on there, too.
Yeah, Django Unchained.
Oh, nice. So that's going to be on there for a while. That's good, because they just put it on like a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I assume we've all seen this movie by now, right?
Yes, obviously. I have seen the film.
Yes.
One would hope so.
Southern-styled Western.
Absolutely.
Tarantino loves his Westerns.
Yes.
He's making a real Western now.
Is he really?
Yeah, The Hateful Eight.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what? He is the type of guy that likes to tackle genres.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's a genre tackler.
Yes. And sometimes all at once.
All at once. Yeah.
He Kill does Bill.
The mashup.
It's the mashup. He does movie mashup because it's a samurai movie, kung fu movie, western.
That's it.
Revenge movie.
Uh-huh.
And then with Django, it's like, it's a...
It's blaxploitation.
Blaxploitation, westerns.
Western.
Set in the South.
Exactly. It's got all of that going on.
Yeah. I think I remember he called it like an antebellum western or something like that.
I could totally see that.
Yeah, which is really funny.
I mean, you know what? Quentin, he steals well.
Yes, he does. Absolutely. One of the best at it.
Yeah.
He's the type of guy that does it to a degree where it's like, well, see, anyone can steal. But like, you got to know how to do it right, to put the right elements together, make it seem cool. But then also, he has his own unique voice that he adds to it. You know, that's important, too.
That is important.
Not just to try to recreate someone else's voice, but take their ideas and then filter them through your own, your own, your viewpoint or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of people, it's kind of like when you do a remix of a song, but you throw in three different songs in there.
Yes.
And it sounds familiar, but it's original at the same time.
Yes, yes. Makes me think of like that Girl Talk stuff where it's like a mashup of all the different, every different hip hop song and dance song and 80s song. Yeah, and it's like, this sounds great. This is better than some of the original stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Even though he's just ripping it all off.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Very clever, that gentleman.
Yeah, he is. So Django Unchained is pretty much like the Girl Talk of westerns and revenge movies and southern blaxploitation films.
That's a good quote right there.
So there you go. Django Unchained, great pick. Awesome job. Good job, Carl.
No doubt.
All right, let's get into the box office recap for the weekend. Drew, I assume you have the numbers there in front of you.
Yes.
Because I don't. I forgot. I did this other stuff. So what do you got? What do you got?
Well, we're going to start off with a movie that's not even on the list.
Oh, snap.
I'm not even sure if it's in quote unquote theaters anymore. Well, even though it is here in town in one.
We just saw it in one theater.
It doesn't have any numbers for this week though. It's the last numbers it has from last week.
Okay, well then, what are last week's numbers for this movie that we saw?
Well, total domestic as of last week. $257,000.
Yeah, damn, that's a winner.
Worldwide, it's made $770,000. It's been out since the middle of August.
Been out since August. Not even $1 million worldwide.
The Zero Theorem.
The Zero Theorem. Terry Gilliam's latest.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen anything about this one, Carl?
No,
You haven't seen any of the trailers or anything.
Yeah. Well, actually, wait a minute. No. What am I saying? I actually saw the film.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You got a chance to see it? Christoph Waltz all bald and everything and being all crazy? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Great.
I saw the film and I got to tell you, it's Terry Gilliam. So,
yes.
You know, he's definitely an acquired taste.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
this should not be your first Gilliam movie.
It should not be.
No.
You have to educate yourself on Gilliam.
You got
to
get down to Fisher King and 12 Monkeys first. Absolutely. Ease your way into his world. This is more like advanced Gilliam.
Yeah, because even 12 Monkeys was way more commercially palatable.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know 100%.
Yeah.
But this one, it's all the way Terry Gilliam.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating topic. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, I'm trying to think of that one film that had to, Pi.
Yes.
Yes.
It reminds me of Pi.
The whole character obsessed with trying to figure out some sort of math equation, a theorem of some sort.
Uh-huh.
I guess we should let the people know what the movie's about.
Sure.
It's set future-ish.
Sure.
It's like an alternate world future.
Terry Gilliam future.
So like people are walking around in like shower curtains, like different colors. It's weird looking.
Yeah.
And our main character is this dude named Cohen Leth, who he speaks about we's and r's. Everything is. He's a weird guy.
He
looks like he has alopecia.
Yes.
And
he's, No eyebrows.
No hair at all.
No hair at all. No eyelashes.
And his job, management, task him with an assignment in which he has to figure out how 100 must equal 100%.
Yes.
And essentially they have a theorem where they're trying to prove that the whole universe is for nothing. It's a computer glitch.
Correct.
Right? And so he's going crazy trying to figure it out. That's pretty much your movie
That's pretty much it.
And then this guy who's a recluse and, oh, also, importantly, he's waiting for...
The call. Absolutely. He's waiting for that call. Now, interestingly enough, that I picked Django Unchained because he's in Django as well.
That is, yeah.
Woo, serendipity.
It does all come together. Like, that's weird how that happens. That happens often on this show. That's the Crespity So magic right
that's
there.
Awesome.
Yeah, and he's great. Christoph Waltz is a great actor.
He's awesome.
He really is.
Apparently, he's just in Austria. He's just like a TV actor over there.
And I'm amazed at his ability to speak multiple languages.
Polyglot.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, absolutely.
The way he does it, he flips from one to the other.
That's how he got that Django role. Originally, Tarantino was talking to DiCaprio to play that role.
Interesting.
But the thing is, DiCaprio would have had to have learned how to do all that dialogue in the different languages. Yeah. And ultimately, they're like, you know what? There's this Christoph Waltz guy. He's pretty amazing. He can do this already. Find. Yeah, yeah. It is a great find for him.
That's fine.
Actually, didn't he win? Did he win Best Actor, Supporting Actor for both Django and Inglorious Bastards? Can someone?
That's a good question.
I wonder because I know he definitely won it for Django.
I know he was. I remember he was nominated. I don't remember.
Definitely nominated for both, for sure.
I know he was nominated.
And both those movies were nominated for Best Screenplay.
Best Screenplay, absolutely.
Because, I mean, it's Tarantino again.
Pissed off Spike Lee, of course.
Yeah.
That's been an ongoing feud.
But Spike also never saw the movie. Like you said, it's ongoing. He's had it in for Tarantino ever since Pulp Fiction.
I can tell you, do we have time to tell you a crazy story?
Please
about
do.
Spike?
Please.
Quentin?
Yes.
All right. I'm at this party downtown Manhattan.
Okay.
This loft, mm-hmm. right? My good friend Baron Claiborne, who's a DP cinematographer, mm-hmm. right? He's throwing a party with his girlfriend. Quentin is there. Spike Lee is there.
Okay.
And they're having this really intense debate.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
About the N-word being used in films. Mm-hmm. And it's getting heated. Everybody's involved. It's a raging debate, mm-hmm. right? And at one point, Quentin gets so pissed off at Spike that he goes, okay, now.
Yeah, he won both.
Yeah, he won,
both.
Right?
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, wow.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay. Thank you, Drew.
Let me just say allegedly.
Okay, allegedly, yes.
Right?
Good call, allegedly.
Okay, allegedly, Quentin swings at Spike.
Wow.
Misses Spike.
Okay.
But hits Baron Claiborne's girlfriend in the face.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So everybody's like, ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
No. Like, this got really bad.
Yeah, and the party just ends. It's just typical.
Holy shit.
Music stops.
Yeah,
lights
yeah.
come on.
Yeah.
You know, people are still screaming at each other.
Crazy.
And the lawsuit has been going on for forever.
Has it really?
Wow. Yes.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Man, I did not know any of that.
Oh, yeah, brother. Now you know.
That's a crazy story. That's a crazy alleged story.
A crazy alleged
story. And allegedly, that sounds awesome. Yeah. That sounds right, though.
Because they're still litigating.
They have been going at it. Yeah. Do you remember they've been going at it recently? Michael Rappaport and Spike Lee. Just apparently buried that hatchet because they were getting nasty with it. That was all centered on the gentrification stuff.
Yes.
And at one point, Spike Lee called Rappaport stupid and a terrible filmmaker. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Rappaport heard that. He called Spike Lee a little shit stain. And then then he was like, he's talking about my movies. When was the last time anyone saw a Spike Lee movie? Ooh. Like, no one's seen his movies. That's why his last movie was funded by Kickstarter, which is, that's cold.
That's yeah. cold.
But apparently then Michael Rapaport, someone caught up with him recently, and he said, no, we met up in person. Okay. And actually, I think he said he contacted Spike Lee, okay. and they met up, and they hashed all out.
Good.
So
they buried the hatchet.
Yeah, they're cool
I like both those guys, man.
I do, too.
Rapaport just did an awesome 30 for 30. I don't know if you're into
it. I do like the 30 for 30. Yeah. So he did do one,
about
didn't he?
About the garden.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect topic
yep,
for him.
Absolutely.
And this
Square Garden.
And Spike Lee, even this the Tribe Called Quest documentary he did. I was like, man, that's a really good documentary.
That is
Spike.
A really good one.
Like, Spike, did you even see it?
Spike's. That's why I'm in the business.
Yeah,
of Spike.
Yeah, I know. It sucks when someone who's so good and so legendary and deserves all the accolades and everything, he becomes a grumpy old man.
Yep.
You know, it's
well,
like,
you know what?
Angry
Spike is a creative Spike.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
And as long as the Knicks keep losing, he'll be angry.
yeah, he will.
He'll be so angry.
Oh, my Knicks.
Back to Zero Theorem.
Yes.
All right. So we saw this. When did you see it? I'm curious.
I saw Zero Theorem.
It was like a festival situation, a screening.
Well, let's just say yes. It was a festival situation.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It was a special screening.
Nice.
And I was blown away. I liked it.
Yeah.
I like complex, dense films like that.
Make you think.
They make you think. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, like I said, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea.
No. Absolutely
not. Not at all.
No.
And, oh my God, the kid.
The one who played the son?
Yeah.
I like that guy.
He was awesome.
Yeah, I like the guy a lot.
Where's he from? I never heard of that kid before.
I think he's like he's got to be some sort of newcomer. I mean, he's a teenager.
He blew me away.
Yeah, he's got a future.
He reminded me, and you can see this is where Terry Gilliam's fingerprints become obvious, mm-hmm. because he reminded me of Brad Pitt's character in 12 Monkeys.
The manicness,
yes.
and the, like, he's...
Even the mannerisms,
gotcha.
And the way he was talking, mm-hmm. that's Terry Gilliam, his
yeah,
directorial
he directed him some way
totally.
To do that. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely, you can see between 12 Monkeys, mm-hmm. Brazil, mm-hmm. there's definitely overlap there in other Gilliam projects, which makes it more fascinating that this is a project that's been around since the 90s, the screenplay.
I did not know that.
The writer of the screenplay, I've mentioned this on the show before, and I have to mention this, I think, every time now. This kind of colors my view of the movie. But the writer is this fellow, Pat Rushen, who teaches over at University of Central Florida.
No kidding.
I took three of his classes when I went over there. I took a screenwriting class and two of his creative writing classes. Do you know Pat?
Yeah, I know of him.
You know of him?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's his movie. It's his baby. The same world. He wrote it in the 90s.
Wow.
And it's been in development hell since the 90s. Yeah. Like 5 years ago, it came this close to being made with Billy Bob Thornton in the lead.
Kidding.
At another point, Ewan
McGregor.
That would
have been weird.
That would have been weird, but also would have been good casting, though. Still, Billy Bob could have pulled that one off.
Yeah, because he's a complex, neurotic.
Yes, and he's got that intensity to him. Absolutely. That, like, I don't know where this is going.
Uh-huh.
Before that, Ewan McGregor was circling it for a while, which would have been young.
Still decent.
Young Alec Guinness would have been. Yeah. But it ended up being this version that got made, and it's so fascinating that a lot of those elements are still in the original story, but Terry Gilliam found this, was like, this is my wheelhouse. This speaks to me. I can make this. And so these two artists from different worlds came together and made something that speaks to both of them. I find that very fascinating.
That's fascinating that's the case.
Yeah.
So was there a lot of rewrites? How close to the original script is it?
I read a few interviews with Rushen where he said that it's evolved over time. There's been rewrites for sure. Yeah, so I'm sure when Gilliam came on, it's like, well, I like to change this and this, and Rushen worked on it. But at the end of the day, when you look at the credits for the movie, it says written by Pat Rushen. No other writers, nothing else. So
very cool. Good for him.
Yeah, man. That's fantastic. Very excited for him. So I would like to put this out during the universe. Definitely like to get a Pat Rushen interview going on for this show. I'm sure I can.
Pat Rushen, shout us out, brother.
Shout out, bro. And he was part of the reason why I want to say is a disclaimer, because I liked him a lot as a teacher. He was a really good teacher, and I learned a lot from his classes.
Very cool.
Just the fact that I remembered his name, and then
then
I was like, oh wait, this is his
movie.
When I took his screenwriting class, he was like, all right, first day one, formatting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's page one of my script, a script that I wrote. Here's page one. And it was the Zero Theorem.
Wow.
Yeah. And almost the exact same thing. It was like opening a church at a ball, dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're waiting for the call. And the phone rings. I was like, wow, it's the same damn thing.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that being said, yes, I liked the movie. I thought it was cool. Yeah. I liked the design.
Yeah.
I liked the philosophical questions it brings up and the whole thing about the universe. Is it all for nothing? Is it a glitch? And then this company is like, you know, then you got the satire. The company is trying to figure that out just so then they can sell you things to make you feel like, oh, now your life, it does have meaning.
It's it's an analogy for corporate America as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
the worker drones.
The worker drones, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we really need all the things that we have available to us to buy?
Right.
Do we really need all that stuff?
And then
No, we don't. The answer is no.
The answer is no.
We're such a consumer society, so that's what interested me in the film, too. It kind of ponders those questions as well.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, we usually say if you can see this in the theater, DVD, how you should see it. I don't think people are going to have really a chance to see it in theaters, though,
No, it's pretty much over.
It's pretty much over. It didn't really have much of a release, unfortunately. So look, check it out on the on-demand.
I'm sure it's on-demand.
Redbox, stuff like that.
It'll be on Netflix eventually.
Netflix, hopefully.
Definitely. Yeah. It'll be on Netflix.
Terry Gilliam fans, definitely check it out.
Absolutely.
If it's your first Gilliam, just be prepared.
It's nice to
keep an open mind.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
But I would say, but you're absolutely right. I would say start off with Brazil.
Right.
If you can get through Brazil.
You can get through the rest of it.
Brazil is like the key to the whole thing. If you want something a little goofier than Adventures of Baron Munchausen. Right? Bandits is the one with the little people. Yeah.
I saw that. That's how old I am. I saw that in the theater, brother.
Nice. That's awesome. And then we're checking on the Rotten Tomatoes. Let's see what they said. The consensus on Zero Theorem. We're looking at a 52% rating. That's 52% of the reviews are positive out of 105 reviews. That's a decent sampling size. Average rating of 5.8 out of 10. I would go like 6.5.
Yeah. I'd be more closer to 7.
You'd go closer to 7?
I would definitely go closer to 7.
You would do more of a 7?
Yeah. But then again, I'm not a critic. Critics look at stuff that I'm like, what?
You would think so, but usually this is not a good example.
Normally they say exactly what we just said.
We'll go through our whole discussion, and then I'll pull up the Rotten Tomatoes, and it's like, oh, it sums up exactly what we just went over.
Was that the audience, or was that the?
This is the all the critics.
The critics
overall. And the Rotten Tomato wrap up consensus here: fans of Gilliam's trademark visual aesthetic will find everything they've bargained for, but for the unconverted, Zero Theorem may prove too muddled to enjoy. See, we just said that.
Yeah.
So that's exactly it. So it did sum us up a little bit there. All right, so Zero Theorem, though. Check it out. It's cool. I enjoyed it. Christoph Waltz, great as always.
If you're a fan of any of his performances, he does a kick-ass performance.
I even liked him in Water for Elephants, which was like, the movie was but he was good.
Yeah.
You know?
I forgot he was in that, actually.
The Ringmaster, the sadistic horse whipper. No, elephant whipper. Drew. Can we now go to the top five?
Coming to number five this week, the Book of Life.
Book of Life.
We can gross $8.3 million, total of 40.5 on a budget of 50.
That's pretty good so far for that movie. It's been out, 3 weeks now?
Yes.
This is a cool one, Carl.
Is it?
Book of Life is really good.
If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I don't even know who's in that. Who's in Book of Life?
Animated movie. So you got the voices of Diego Luna.
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
Oh.
Zoe Saldana.
Channing Tatum.
A lot of people. Danny Trejo pops up in one because it's set in Mexico, right? So you got Danny Trejo, Cheech Marin.
Oh, cool.
A lot of people pop up with little roles like that. Very cool movie. We've reviewed it before on the show. You can also check out my review on chriscrespo.com. But yeah, the design of the movie is gorgeous.
Oh, cool.
And and even though the story is pretty simple,
yeah,
it goes a few places. Like it's a family movie, and it goes
you
places
think
where
they would go there.
Yeah, like for kids, like kids aren't gonna get some of this stuff. You know, it gets kind of surreal and heady.
But it was
giant flaming skeleton bulls.
Oh wow!
Yeah, yeah. Or
giant
or
flaming
the, or the gigantic
bulls.
Gatekeeper with the huge sword, the huge rock sword.
Oh, I want to see.
And then
now.
There's a bad guy who he has two swords, and they both look like they're cut to look like sharks.
What?
Yeah, yeah. That's a crazy design movie.
Wow.
Produced by Guillermo del Toro.
Okay.
But written and directed by some dude, Jorge Gutierrez. I think it's like his first big thing. Yeah,
Guillermo does that a lot.
Yeah,
he gives chances,
which is awesome.
Yeah,
it's like. The Don't Be Afraid of the Dark was one where he gave to someone. The Orphanage was another one where he found someone. That's pretty cool. He's like
I like that.
He's like the Mexican Hollywood version of Luc Besson.
That's right.
Yeah, because that guy he's just
Luc Besson and I are friends on Facebook.
Are you really?
Yeah,
we
go back and forth occasionally.
You should get him to come on the show.
Oh,
man.
Word! Luke, if you're listening, Luke. That's two right there.
Yeah, seriously.
There you go.
We can talk about Taken 3.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
We'll be like Luke.
Take three.
Why? And he'll say money, and we'll say, oh, okay.
We got gotcha.
It. We understand.
Well, he'll say money, and then he'll say Liam Neeson. And I'll be like, not a problem. Yeah, I understand.
Three words, money, yep. Liam Neeson.
I get it.
All right,
makes perfect sense.
What's number four?
Number four this week, Gone Girl, made an additional $8.8 million, total of $136.6. Budget is 61.
David Fincher's highest grossing film.
Wow.
Of his career.
What was that figure that you just said?
136.6.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah. On a budget of what?
61.
Okay,
that's how you do it.
You put the fear of God into me about Gone Girl.
Because, yeah.
So good.
Because I put it out there on Facebook. I was like, if you do not see this movie, if you plan on getting married anytime soon.
it's the truth, because you will definitely take a second look at your interpersonal relationship with your baby psycho wife.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? And my third anniversary is next week.
Yeah,
November 6th.
Go see Gone Girl.
So we're going to see Gone Girl.
And the movie does take place on the 5th anniversary.
It does.
Well, yeah, we're definitely going to see it.
Like, anniversaries play into it for sure.
We're on vacation next week. We're going to see it. My wife actually wants to see it. She keeps bringing it up.
It's a good movie.
Did you read the book?
No. We didn't know. We don't know anything about
it. That's even better.
Okay.
Sweet. That's you guys will have even more fun with it then.
Yeah, because it's all about the twists and the turns and the plot details emerging. Every 10 minutes, you're like, what? Yeah. What?
Oh, okay.
And then at one point, like three quarters away in the movie, this one scene happens where I was just like, what the fuck is going on? It's only 10 seconds long, but it's like the one moment where I was like, this is the one moment why David Fincher even wanted to make this movie to begin with. This one image, because he just wants to scar America.
Oh, yeah.
And he scarred at least $137 million worth of people so far.
Yep. Holy moly.
Yeah, so check that one out, man.
Looking
forward
to it.
You're going to enjoy it for sure.
Date movie?
Yes.
Well, it all depends on your relationship.
Okay,
I mean, first date movie? No.
Okay, got it.
Because you want a trustless person.
Okay, got it.
First date movie? No. Maybe like fifth or sixth date movie? Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good to know.
All right. Number three this week, Fury made a weekend gross of $9.1 million, total of $60.4 on a budget of $68.
The very intense, very brutal Fury, starring Bradley Pitts.
Shia LaBeouf.
It's a good one, but again, it's a war movie, so you know.
I love the war movies.
War is hell.
It is.
No, Carl, war is hell.
It sucks.
They really hammer that one home.
It changes a man, in case you weren't.
It sucks.
Actually, we'll be talking about that a little bit later, won't we?
Yes, we will be.
Yeah, we will. Let's move on. What's next?
Number two this week, Ouija had a week in gross of 10.9, total of 34.9 on a budget of 5.
That's
how that money gets made.
That's why those movies get made.
You know, horror films, they don't cost nothing to make.
Nope.
and it's a weird thing that they almost always are profitable.
And when they become a hit, then it's a monster profit. Yeah, then it's like, oh shit, Ouija 2 coming out next year.
Yep.
It becomes a franchise.
Uh huh.
That's how Paranormal Activity happened.
Yeah.
All those movies started out. So even when the Paranormal 4, fourth one, you would think, oh, by the time the budgets keep going up, they're going to balloon. The fourth one still only cost them like $5 million.
That's the business model that they have to stick to, and it makes sense.
Well, yeah, and because there is diminishing returns. So, mm-hmm. you know, if the budgets keep going up and your returns are going down.
They know. They figured out the formula.
Yeah.
Because it's not like an action adventure film or superhero films where you always got to up the ante the next time around.
True. It's just got to be changed. Rearranged.
Rearranged.
Like, different jump scares.
It's like Taco Bell. You got the same five ingredients. You got from a gordita to a quesarita to a Mexican pizza. It's all the same
Still
shit.
Still the same stuff.
But the price keeps going up for some reason. Yeah. And people keep coming back for more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So horror films are Taco Bell.
Yes.
Another great quote.
And number one this week.
Number one, here we go.
Nightcrawler. Nice. Had a weekend gross of 10.9, same as the total. Budget is not listed on Box Office Mojo.
It's got to be a pretty cheap movie. I would put it at like $25 million.
I don't know anything about this movie. What is this?
It's the new Jake Gyllenhaal movie. Uh-huh. It's a...
that goes to videographer guy?
Yeah, yes. It's a dark thriller with a little bit of commentary on, the way we get our news.
The media.
Yeah.
He plays a guy who he's got problems immediately. And he decides to fall into the world of crime journalism and underground crime journalism. And these guys are called Striggers and Nightcrawlers.
Okay.
And they just drive around independently of the news stations. And they try to film accident scenes and victims and murders and stuff like that. And then they sell them to the news agencies.
Okay.
To play on the 6 o'clock news.
Okay.
So he plays this guy who he falls into this world and he loves it. He loves the adrenaline. He finds out that he's good at it. And he's also very...
He's of low moral value.
He's very low moral value. He's a psychopath of sorts. He's psychopathic, sociopathic, definitely. And it's a fascinating movie.
It really is.
The trailer that I saw, did he lose weight for the film?
Yes.
He looks like it. He looks really kind of gone.
Yes. He does look gone.
He's got the sunken in cheeks and everything. But I think it's because the character is definitely the type of guy who doesn't put food first or his own health first.
Yeah.
He's more about business model and how do I advance? How do I keep going?
And Jake is that kind of method Meisner actor type of dude.
Absolutely.
Where he's going to go through it.
Yeah, he is. And we've said this on the show before. He does best when he's doing the crazy intense... obsessed characters.
And that's exactly what he's doing here.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's another good one. I'm going to check that one out.
It is good. It is really good. I really, really enjoyed it. And Drew said, it speaks about the media and the way we get our news and how, you know, crime rates are going down, but yet coverage of violent crime on the news is going up.
It's gone up.
You know, it's a modern day network. Just less satirical, more like on the nose. This is actually what's happening. Yeah. You know,
it's so weird because huge, crazy events happen in the news that are like shockingly depressing and messed up.
Yeah.
And then we just move on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the news cycle. Yeah. 2-3
Whoa.
Here's the next horrible thing to keep you scared.
I don't
want to
sound like a cornball or nothing, but that's got to be fucking up people's
totally. 100%.
No, it is.
That's the point. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah, they're shaping the nation. They're changing us and shaping us, and we have to be more aware of that.
Because they're desensitized to stuff.
Exactly. Well, that, and if they make us depressed, then we look for outlets to be happy, you know, like beer. Or, TV or shopping or going to do something to make me forget about all this nonsense I just saw on the television.
It's like America, relax. Here's your beer. Here's your TV. Shop.
Yeah. You know,
Don't think.
Not to go too far on a tangent, but I saw this documentary that was so insane and crazy about the media and about advertising in Madison Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it said that the guy, this guy was a nephew of Sigmund Freud. And he took a whole bunch of Sigmund Freud's notes over to America and started introducing these ideas into Madison Avenue.
Ooh.
Early 20th century.
So he was doing subliminal psychoanalysis marketing before. Yeah. Man, that's crazy.
They figured it all out early 20th century and started implementing all of that into what we have today.
Intense.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Do you remember the name of the documentary by
chance? I really don't, but if I do, I'll go ahead and
we can bring it back up. Absolutely. Sure.
Because it is
pretty cool.
Fascinating.
That sounds cool. Well, Nightcrawler is definitely a good one, right, Drew?
Nightcrawler.
Oh, 100%. It was fantastic.
Definitely say
check
that out.
I really enjoyed it.
Check it out in theaters.
Oh, yeah. And watch it at night, too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because yeah, most of the movie does take place at night. Yeah, yeah.
It really sets the mood.
Yeah. The tagline on the poster is, what is it? The city shines brightest at night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we both really enjoyed it for sure. Rotten Tomatoes, out of 141 reviews of critics, 94% positive.
Yeah.
Whoa. Goddamn. So well-liked movie. Average rating, 8.2 out of 10.
Yeah. Nice.
I'd go 7.5, 8 out of 10 for sure. I really liked it.
That's like Guardians of the Galaxy numbers.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. Yeah. Restless, visually sleek, and powered by a lithe star performance from Jake Gyllenhaal, Nightcrawler offers dark, thought-provoking thrills. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Definitely definitely a type of movie that it can make you think.
Yeah.
You can get the gears turning if you want to, or you can just sit back and just watch it as
and be
the
thriller,
the creepy thriller that it is, and still just enjoy it on a superficial level that. So definitely a good mark for that movie. New movies coming out on DVD this week. We have Maleficent.
Maleficent.
Angelina Jolie. Best part about that movie was her.
I was just about to say.
Absolutely.
She was really good in that movie.
She's really, really good. I mean, one of those things was like, was she born for this type of role?
Because
she nails it. The movie around it is like,
It's okay. So-so.
It was pretty so-so. Similar thing happened with this other movie coming out on DVD, Hercules.
Oh, God.
Because Dwayne Johnson was a badass.
He looked awesome.
Well, especially when he's walking around with
the lion head
thing and the huge sword.
But I like the take on the film,
but the movie really wasn't that good.
I like that they went with a different approach. They did try to go outside of the box. They didn't want to give us a traditional Hercules movie. So like we're going to do the man behind the myth type
exactly.
of thing. The problem is when you do that. The myth stuff is the cool stuff.
That's the cool stuff.
We want to see the giant monsters and the legendary things. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So after like they burst that bubble, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then they did the rest of the movie, and I was like, oh, this is kind of boring.
It became a yawn.
Yeah.
It just became a yawn.
It was 300 Light is what it was, you know. It was like Leonidas and his band of merry unfit men. And finally, A Most Wanted Man, the Philip Seymour Hoffman spy
thriller. That was quite good as well.
It's a pretty good one. The adaptation of a Jean Le Carré novel by director Anton Corbin, the dude who did... The American with George Clooney
Anton used to direct music videos.
Yes, he did a lot of music videos.
And I AD'd for him before.
Oh, did you really?
Oh yeah.
And then his first movie was about the guy from The Clash.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, I still can't remember the name of it. It's killing me.
Yes,
Ian Curtis. He did an Ian Curtis movie.
Ian Curtis.
And then The American, The Most Wanted Man is his, and you nailed it, man. It's tense. It's gripping. You know, His style, because like The American is definitely has that pace going for it, where it's a very deliberate European style pacing. So for this type of your international set spy thriller
type
thing,
you have to be patient
with
it.
Exactly. And he's patient with letting the details out and the characters unfold, and it builds up to a pretty crazy scene at the end. It's good stuff. Yeah, definitely recommend checking it out. What's come out in theaters, Drew? Anything of significance?
Stephen Hawking biopic, The Theory of Everything, comes out.
That looks interesting. Yeah?
Yeah.
With Eddie Redmayne. He's getting rave reviews for his portrayal as Stephen Hawking.
Yeah,
which
I'm
has
sure.
to be tough. But half the movie is going to be in a chair looking kind of silly.
But do they go through his whole life, maybe?
Yeah, well, they
looks like from college.
Yeah, it looks like from college. Because it's about him and his wife. So
oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's, you know, it's him, the theory, and his wife loves him.
And then the disease takes him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's getting good reviews.
That's what's up, man. It's a biopic.
Yeah, a biopic, absolutely.
And that's actually a wide release in theaters, huh?
Oh, yeah. I've been seeing lots of trailers for it.
It will be wide release. This weekend may be a limited thing, but it will expand. By Christmas, it'll be everywhere for sure.
Okay.
Because it's coming up on the award season.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Big Hero 6 comes out this week.
That animated
movie.
That looks cute. That looks fun. Yeah.
Looks interesting.
Actually, in the early reviews for that one, they did a screening a couple weeks ago. Pretty good. Pretty strong stuff. They're saying it's like Frozen and Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay.
Disney Animation's hitting this nice stride where they're making some pretty good family movies.
No.
Maybe not like Pixar level, but just right below it.
A little below.
Well, interesting that you say the Pixar thing. I'm really impressed by the animation of those projects as well, the Disney products.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, well, Disney's ebbed and flowed over the years. They've had their dry spells, and it looks like now they're definitely in that a nice, strong time period here.
Rooting for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Local overlords.
Master Mickey. Mouse runs everything.
Yeah, it does.
And anything that is.
And then there's this tiny little Chris Nolan movie called Interstellar.
Interstellar! Baby!
It's right. A tiny little
Itty
movie.
Little Interstellar.
Wait for that.
It's going to be so good.
Yeah,
I've been looking forward to this movie for months.
I would definitely say make sure you go to the bathroom before that film starts.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
His longest movie.
169 minutes.
Yeah. Woo, man.
Yeah. The Dark Knight Rises was 168. So.
Oh. Okay, but that was the same kind of thing, because you know how movie theaters sell the beer and wine?
Oh, yeah.
Bad idea.
No beer and wine on this
no
one.
No beer and wine.
I actually tried not to drink before a movie for that exact reason. And I think the reason, too, this movie hit that length, I know for a fact Dark Knight Rises was only 168 minutes because of all the IMAX footage in the movie.
Okay.
And the IMAX cameras and reels could only hold up to like a certain length of time. So there was enough room for one trailer and then a 168-minute movie. So this one might be like no trailer. Yeah.
169 minutes.
That's all we could fit on these goddamn cameras. Oh, you know, pretty interesting. So definitely looking forward to that. That's going to be pretty wild. Let's take a break here. I got a one song from the Kill Bill Volume 1 soundtrack. See, I picked that days ago, too. We're talking Tarantino.
Look
you pulled
at that
Django.
Stuff, man.
The cool part about the Kill Bill soundtrack was it was curated by the RZA.
Yes.
Of the Wu-Tang.
My boy.
Shaolin represent.
My homie.
And he did one song called Ode to Oren Ishii, the Lucy Liu character.
Yep.
So I'm going to go ahead and play that. And then we're going to come back with the second half of the show. Got a lot to talk about. You guys ready?
Oh,
let's do it. All right.
Hey yo, I want to dedicate this song right here to Oren Ishii, half Chinese, half Japanese, half American, and yo, over the species of feminine perfection. She got the sinister cat eyes and little freckles on her complexion, cheaper than Yakuza, but she's wicked like Medusa, and she got crazy 88 killers that'll slice right through ya, quick to chop her head off, then wipe the blood off. A long-range sniper shot she busts, never let her dud off. You got a minute to pray, and a second to die. You can see the image of the devil reflected inside her eye. But since she was a little girl, yo, she never would cry. She seen so much tragedy, let me explain to you why. She grew up on a military base, where she had to face the brutality of her mother and her father being erased. The blood drops from her teardrops on her cheek. You see the smear spots. She silently watched as the shotgun sliced through her dear pops, through his thick skull. Man, she's vicious like a pit bull. And when it comes to hatred and revenge, she got a shit full. And yo, she been busting off kneecaps, son, since the age of 11. But fucking the enemy to death, ugh, that was her favorite weapon. And the debt you paid in hell, boy, it can't be paid in heaven. You better get down on your knees, son, and start praying to the reverend. Bon appetit, boy, revenge is so sweet, especially when it's served on a cold dish. But she has no wish but to cut your day short, like the winter solstice, and a chance to receive a slight bit of mercy from all was hopeless. Oren Ishii, half Chinese, half Japanese, half American. Wow, yeah. Oh, what a species.
Welcome to the Crespo
Show. All right, time for the second half of episode 95 of Cinema Crespo. So thank you, Kevin, for coming by and giving us a live welcome to the Crespo Dome drop. He does that every week. We appreciate it. And Kevin's at the door. Peace out, Kevin. Cool seeing Kevin, right, Carl?
That was so awesome.
Yeah, you guys got to catch up a little bit there.
Yes, we did.
We're going to have you on SBK Live. I'm going to make that happen.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to it.
Make it happen soon. So let's get the plugs done. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antero419, all over social media.
All over. That LO.
I'm on that LO.
That's what's up.
I'm on that Facebook. I'm on everything, man.
He's on that Snapchat. Ladies.
Yeah, I am.
He's waiting for the Snapchat pictures.
I still don't quite know how it works.
I was just about to say, how does even Snapchat work?
I don't know how.
I'm not on it, so no.
I don't know. I'm kind of confused.
Yeah,
you gotta be
the
a
app,
little
the
kid.
App kind of sucks.
But that's all it is. It's only an app. There's no
I
mobile
think, I
or
know.
No
is
website.
There? I don't
it's
know.
Only a mobile.
It's only mobile.
It's only mobile.
I have no idea.
Hey, ladies, someone get in touch with Antier419 and show them how to use Snapchat properly, if you know what I mean. I'm on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo, and the show is on Twitter at CrespoDiso, and on Elo at CinemaCrespoDiso, which no one else is on yet.
We're on that Elo.
They'll be on soon, and Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso.
So now Elo.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.co. Not even .com.
Not even .com. It's .co.
What is that? ELLO.co. It's a new social media.
It's the new hot social media.
It's a new hot one because it's ad-free. It's ad-free. And their whole thing is we do not collate your information and we are not selling it to advertisers. This is purely what the social media for now.
Yeah, exactly. For now.
Now, once we have 500 million users a year or a day or whatever Facebook fucking has, then yeah, now are these going to start costing money? Ads are going to pop up everywhere, promoted tweets and shit like that.
Oh, I get it. It's hello.
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 Hello, that cow.
Got it.
Yeah, so if you want to get on there, man, we got
brilliant.
Between the two of us, we got a bunch of invites. We'll get you on there.
I'm sure we do.
Doing it.
And hit up Billy D, New York City show correspondent Billy D on LO at I Love Blood, as well as on Twitter. Now, this is one of the main reasons we want to have you on for the plug section here. Carl, I know you're a man who's always, like you said, you're always hustling.
Yes, sir.
Always got projects in the hopper.
Yes, sir.
So let's talk about these projects. First off, I'm really interested in this Trigger movie. Trigger the movie.
Yeah.
That's how, look it up on Facebook, search Trigger the movie. It should pop up. Kind of a new page.
Mm-hmm.
What's your involvement with this? Tell us a little bit about this project.
Well, this is the deal. I, as you guys know, I also teach at Full Sail University.
Absolutely.
I teach in the producing course.
Yes.
And I've been doing that for years.
Young minds for molding.
Molding them suckers. Yes, getting them out there ready for the industry, doing their thing. Had a lot of success, a lot of successful grads, a lot of good things going on with them. I had some current students approach me about an idea, and students approach me about ideas all the time.
They're students, they're kids. They got ideas popping. Which is good.
Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, it's just not ready for prime time.
It's just like, good idea, kid. Yeah. You go work on that for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep working it. Yeah, absolutely.
And I was approached by Angelo Inzanari, who is one of our students, and his partner, Kais. And they pitched a short film to me that just blew me away. I'm former military. You know, I'm a veteran. I served during Desert Storm. So I have a special kinship to our current veterans and the guys that are coming back home right now.
What branch?
I was in the Navy.
Navy, all right.
Yeah. I was a radar tech in the Navy.
Nice.
7 years, brother.
Awesome.
Actually, I went to boot camp where Baldwin Park is now.
Oh, yeah. That old naval base out over there. Yeah, that's right.
I learned electronics over there as well.
Crazy.
Yeah. Now, right back in Orlando.
Now it's a bunch of white bread motherfuckers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Getting paid.
Yeah, they are.
Million-dollar plus houses.
Yes, sir.
We live Baldwin Park adjacent.
Yes, sir.
It's right behind us.
So,
shadow of Baldwin Park.
Well, they built a gate to separate us.
Yeah, they did build a gate, those bastards.
It's like coaching first class. Uh-huh. They put that curtain.
Exactly, that curtain. You don't go through that.
Don't go through that.
So the project came to you. You immediately felt a kinship with it because you understood away where
not
where
only that,
from.
But it's an intense story. It's deeply personal, but at the same time, it's relatable by just about all of us because for the last 13 years, we've all gone through this war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, we've all gone through it. It looks like it's going to ramp back up again. This is something that's very much in our cultural psyche. It's very much the forefront of what we talk about on a daily basis.
Right.
We have to have care in approaching the subject matter when it comes to veterans, right? Right now, we're just now learning the effects of PTSD, what PTSD is, trying to figure out ways on how to treat it,
It's ridiculous how long, I mean, for as long as there's been war, there's been PTSD.
Absolutely.
PTSD even goes beyond war. If you go through a traumatic experience, it's just post-traumatic syndrome.
Absolutely.
If you go back, if you look at the vernacular that the government has used over the years, first it was in World War I, it was shell shock.
Shell shock.
Yep. Right? And then World War II, it was something else.
It was fatigue. It was battle fatigue.
It was all sorts of phrases before we got to a point where it was like, oh, no, this is some serious shit.
This is some serious shit.
This isn't just people going batty for war.
Yeah, we train these guys how to react, right? We train these guys how to
be in the situation.
You know what? How to be machines. How to be killing machines to a certain degree.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But we haven't figured out a way to untrain them.
To bring them back.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. There is no untraining.
There is no untraining.
Well, then it's coping. Then it's
not working on that.
It's
you just got to find a more productive, I guess, outlet for that skill set.
For what the government instilled. You
know, I know. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard, though, once you're given a specific skill set, and then,
we can't all be Liam Neesons.
Exactly.
Exactly. Because it's the brain, guys.
Yeah.
It's the most complicated organ.
It's training.
Yeah. We basically don't even really understand the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, these guys come back. You know, and there are various situations, various triggers mm-hmm. that can set these guys off and put them right back into the war.
I see what you guys did there. Okay, very good. Good. Yes, yeah. I like it. Yep. I like it.
And those triggers can come from anything.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
When Angelo pitched the story to me, the trigger in this situation, Angelo, by the way, Purple Heart recipient, mm-hmm. he doesn't like to use the word hero. I get it. But to me, all these guys are my heroes.
Absolutely.
You know, because they fought for our freedom and they're continuing to fight for our freedom. And this is something that's very important.
It's a brutal job.
To keep our society and to keep freedom alive.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a brutal job. And so throughout, we're eventually going to shoot this pilot
mm-hmm.
for an episodic series.
And we can tell people there is a teaser trailer.
Yes, that's correct.
If you go to the Trigger the Movie Facebook page, there's mm-hmm. a link right there. I found it right on YouTube, too. If you search Trigger teaser trailer, it pops up pretty easily.
That's right.
I want to ask you real quick about that teaser. The teaser's in a very specific style. It looks like it's almost like you just pulled a minute out of what the movie would be. It's what it feels like,
that's
right?
That's exactly it.
So you got Angelo sitting there doing like the talking head thing where he's got the background and he's kind of narrating us. Mm-hmm. You also got the actual radio transmissions from the night. Is that what's going on? Or are those recreations?
They were recreations, but they're verbatim.
Like transcript or whatever. Absolutely. It's actually what was actually said.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you got him talking and then you got these audio snippets mm-hmm. put in there. And then a lot of it is over. It looks like pictures from like the war. But then maybe the pictures are moving a little bit.
It reminds me of
like
the
Kid Stays in the Picture documentary.
Right. It reminds me of the Walkman graphic comic.
Yeah.
They made. Yeah, yeah. The moving. Yes, they found a way to make a still image move around like that.
Absolutely.
And then it's kind of moving very slowly, which I really like that style because it gives it kind of like a dreamlike quality, which I'm sure now, since we're talking about a PTSD, kind of a flashback type of scenario, that's going to really pay off. You know,
absolutely.
That kind of like that moodiness and like, oh, like. Dark shit is mm-hmm. fucking happening here. You
uh-huh.
know? Yeah.
And then you have a situation. First of all, I got to give props to Kais.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kais Karadash. I know I'm mispronouncing your last name, Kais. I'm sorry. But Kais is also one of our students.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working with us on this project. He's the one who put the trailer together.
He's doing most of
the marketing.
Nice job.
Yeah. He's doing all the marketing, I should say. You know,
I'm helping
him out and giving him advice. Yep. But it's pretty much him, what he's doing. He's also our producer on the project as well.
Okay.
He's only 20 years old. He's a wunderkind.
Amazing.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm going to be able to, you know, we're always talking, joking, me and Angelo. Angelo's like, he's mine. And I'm like, I got more money than you.
grab those coattails and ride them.
Exactly.
Someone's going to pull you out.
These guys are going to be stars.
That's awesome.
And
that's
Angelo
great.
This is Angelo's experiences.
Okay.
And he's actually acting in the film as well.
Which is which is great. That's going to really help bring it home that this
absolutely.
Is an actual person's
mm-hmm.
experience. You're watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also based on reality,
absolutely.
You know, like all the best art has that, at least a nugget of truth into
you
it.
You have to have that.
This looks like it's going to be a pretty goddamn big nugget
absolutely,
of truth.
Absolutely, yeah. And I remember watching Generation Kill. I remember being so into Generation Kill,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know anything about their families.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah,
know no. anything about their hometowns. It's just all about their experiences,
right.
you know, marching up the Euphrates, going the Tigris going up
yeah.
into Baghdad. And that's the whole thing there. But what we're doing with Trigger and the subsequent episodes,
because the plan is short film,
yeah,
and then web mm-hmm. series,
yes,
right, okay. So with the web series, you explore mm-hmm. who Angelo is and the family, and
exactly,
and then the daily effects of the different triggers, I assume, are going to pop up here and there.
Yes, absolutely,
yeah, that's good.
First season,
okay,
and then the second season. Now we know Angelo. We're going to be familiar with the people he works with,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, keep in mind he did two tours.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. what happens when you go back? You know what I'm saying? Like,
who's still there? Who's not? What's different?
Exactly. You know, how do you experience that? How do the families do it?
That shift where
the camaraderie,
war or home, mm-hmm. back to war. You know, mm-hmm. that'll mess your mind, man. That's intense.
So the second season is Brotherhood. Second season is all about that.
Watch out!
Oh, here we go. We gotta take a quick break. It's time for Drewster Cogburn versus the world. Drewster Cogburn versus the world.
Real quick.
You ready, Carl?
Yeah, I'm as ready as I can be.
Before we do the game, let's go ahead and finish the Trigger discussion, because I do know you have other things you want to talk about, other projects. Yep. So the idea, we got the trailer. Check out the trailer online, people.
Absolutely. Build Indiegogo.
Indiegogo. That's where I want to get to, because then we want to do the web series, but to do the web series, we need the funds.
Absolutely.
How can people help out with this movie? How can they help make this happen?
We have fantastic prizes for you.
All right.
On Indiegogo, and it starts off at $1.
All right, nice.
$15, $25 donation.
Okay, and I'm assuming if you go to Indiegogo.com, just search Trigger the Movie, it'll pop right up.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Search Trigger.
And what kind of things can people get if they start donating?
You can get anything from DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
You can get the T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get the rounds from the 50 cal.
Wow.
Nice.
You know, the tiers go all the way up to $1,000. And, of course, you know, the more you contribute, the more we give you.
Absolutely, yeah.
We'll
Are some of those, like, if it's $1,000, like an associate producer or something like that? Yeah.
Yep.
Right. So you get an on-screen credit, people.
And I should actually go to the Indiegogo page itself and give you the specific...
Well, I mean...
Specific prizes. I know that your listeners are going to go there.
Yeah, this is a podcast, they're mostly tech savvy.
They know what's going on.
Some parents are there.
Once they get up there. But we have fantastic prizes.
What's the goal? Do you know what's the final number you're looking for?
The final number is $15,000.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's
nothing.
I have a lot of resources at my disposal.
Yeah, you do.
With the film community in
Orlando. That's true, so you can help out a lot. Oh, absolutely. Man. That's totally attainable, people. Mm-hmm.
It's totally attainable.
You got it right there?
Yep, I got it right there. Right,
listen, people, listen up.
$1, go. You ain't got to spend much, okay? You'll get a thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
Hey,
thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? $5, you'll get regular updates.
Okay.
Okay, about how fundraising is going, etc.
Right. Mm-hmm.
$25, you get the T-shirt. Which is going to be really cool.
Yeah.
This is going to be a really nicely designed T-shirt. Heavyweight fiber. It's not going to shrink.
Not some crap. No. Not one of the ones they shoot out of the Magic game.
Exactly. Yeah. Not those. Yeah, you can see through. Right? It's going to be.
Wash your car
with
them.
And you're still going to get the scoop of behind the scenes process.
And the thank you.
Thank you.
For people that don't know what these Indiegogo Kickstarter things, as you bid up, all the prizes come packed together. It's not like you don't get the ones below.
That's exactly
So if you spend $1,000, you're still getting the thank you.
Yep.
Don't worry about that. You
still get that.
You're getting the thank you.
You know, $50 digital support. You know what I mean? You're basically going to get the T-shirt, right? And we'll also give you regular behind-the-scenes updates.
Nice.
You know, we'll go ahead and, you know, it will be a limited edition T-shirt only available to Indiegogo backers.
Excellent.
Because there'll be other T-shirts as well.
Yeah,
But this one is a special one.
Excellent.
For that one, $75, you get the Blu-ray DVD of the film.
Nice.
Which is really, really cool.
I'm sure, I mean, you're shooting it, so it's going to look beautiful. It's going to be all like red 4K type stuff.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, it's going to look good.
Yeah. And in addition to that, we actually have... an interior of a Humvee being built by us.
Ooh, nice.
Wow.
Yeah. One, is it
authentic?
Like a type of one where also you can like maybe remove parts here and there to get the camera in there and stuff?
Absolutely. Oh, it'll be the major set piece of the short.
Exciting.
You know
awesome.
What I mean? For $100, you get the DVD, you get the T-shirt, you get the thank you, and you get the poster.
Hey.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
awesome.
$250, you get the 50 cal round.
Crazy.
Right?
That's crazy.
A casing from the 50 cal.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and all the previous mentioned prizes.
All of that, yep.
$500, all the previous mentioned prizes with dog tags.
Oh, nice.
Official dog tags.
Official licensed dog
Trigger
tags.
Film, with the film logo.
That's great.
Yep. $1,000, everything that's mentioned before.
Yep.
You'll also get special thanks in the credits.
There you go.
As well.
There you go.
You get a bumper sticker in addition to all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
$5,000, that's when you get into the associate producer credits.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And if someone did $15,000 bid, boom.
Wow.
Would that be then, can the movie just be like executive produced by, like presented by this one guy?
Absolutely. And we'll be eternally grateful, of course. We're going to fly you in. You'll be involved in the process of the shooting.
Yeah.
You know, and you will be in the behind the scenes of it as well.
Very good.
You know what I mean?
That's awesome. That's great. good luck to you guys. Thank Seriously, you, it man. Sounds like an awesome project. Yeah. People, check out Triggered the Movie on Facebook, on Indiegogo.
Out too. Yeah, the Wounded Warrior Project. We want to contribute to that.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
I mean, it's definitely because it sounds like, you know, the very end of The Hurt Locker when the character finally went home and he was in the supermarket and he was bored and he was dealing with his family, but only for a second. It feels like this is going to expand on that. Like that.
That's it.
Maybe that movie should have been more about the character instead of just him going through the shit.
Yeah.
The effects of the shit. And they only spent like a couple minutes on that.
Absolutely.
This feels like it's well, no, these yeah. are the effects. You
I
know,
remember
war in movies, war is bad, but it's also yeah. a little sexy. I mean, Brad Absolutely. Pitt had a yeah, modern yeah, yeah, haircut, yeah. and you know, yeah. when he had the mud on his face, he looked like yeah, a GQ yeah. badass.
That's what I saw.
But it's a very fucking
be,
it's, thing.
It definitely will be action packed. Yeah. You know, this isn't gonna be like a sappy documentary. This is gonna have some cool shit.
It's gonna be intense.
It's gonna be intense.
Well, Angel gave us a description beforehand. It sounded yeah. like I was in there.
Really intense.
I was in the Humvee and I was like, holy yeah. shit, this sounds yeah. crazy. So.
That's what sucked me in. And you know, we're gonna have second unit shots being done by filmmakers from Hurt Locker.
Excellent.
Nice.
You know, they're going to do the establishing shots for us mm-hmm. and exterior scenes as well.
Nice.
So it's going to really add a lot of authenticity.
So, and they're shooting over where?
In Jordan.
So you got the second unit in Jordan giving yep. you all that authentic stuff. Mm-hmm. And then where's are you shooting the rest here?
And the rest will be here in sound stages at Full Sail Studios.
Wow, wow, there you go. That's,
oh, yes.
That's Orlando East.
That's what's up, brother.
Oh, Hollywood East.
Hollywood East. Hollywood East.
It is East Orlando, but it's Hollywood East. actually, Hollywood East is it that turns to Atlanta.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Georgia is crazy with the film productions
and,
up there. They've won.
Hopefully, well, not to get too political, but if we get a new governor, we might get film incentives back.
Oh, yeah, dude. The
pull
film,
those jobs away from Georgia.
The, yeah, the film incentives ran out like 2 years before the new budget was supposed to come up. And That's they were right. just like, they're out of money. Fuck them. We don't need work in
That's
this
how
state.
It went down.
Idiots. No. Idiots.
So, right. so Trigger.
People,
check out Trigger,
check,
guys.
Check that
on
out.
On Facebook, Indiegogo.
All right, so here we go. Dr. Drew Sacogren versus the world. Drew, this year. It's 10-4.
Doing pretty good.
10-4, doing pretty good. He just lost last week.
Yep.
To
Big Mike.
To Big Mike. Was that last week? No.
So.
To Pedro Lima.
Pedro Lima.
It you beat Pedro. Big Mike. No, you lost two in a row. Drew's lost two in a row, Carl.
Wow.
He's on the ropes, buddy.
Look at that.
He's on
man.
The ropes, so.
Pedro Lima, why does that sound familiar?
Stand-up comedian. Local stand-up
local.
Comic.
That's why.
Hilarious
okay.
guy.
Okay.
I love having him on the show because yeah. when he shits on a movie, oh my God,
he
it's
really
so funny.
Shits on a movie.
He can sit here and like shit on a movie that I love, and I'll just laugh. And then I'll be like, you're right. You're
I
right.
kind of got to be politically correct. You never know who my next boss is going to be.
Yeah. yeah, it's true. He doesn't give a fuck.
No.
I wish I could do that sometimes.
Yeah. To be in that position, right?
Yeah, brother.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this week's game, I'm doing a new one. I don't think we've done this before. AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movie Quotes. They did that a while ago where they did the top 100 movie quotes.
I love AFI
so,
for that.
So I have two banks of five movie quotes. You tell me the movie. All right? So, Carl, I'm going to let you go first. We have Group A and Group B. What do you prefer?
I'm going to go with A.
Hey, all right. Pick your poison. Here we go. Number one, name the movie. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Ooh, that would be Gone with the Wind.
That is correct. 75-year anniversary for yeah. Gone with the Wind. Yeah. Number two.
Oh, that was an easy one.
I think they're all kind of easy as I did them, but, okay. but we'll see what happens.
Well, you guys are more movie files. This is very interesting.
I tend to lose these pretty bad.
Oh, really?
And then also, as I'm looking at it, I see the movie and the quote. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's obvious. Right? But then I'm thinking, if I heard this one, would I get it?
That's the difference between not to say that you guys couldn't be filmmakers,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
But we're from more consumers.
Yes.
We're much more on the consumer side.
Yes,
yeah.
indeed.
Yeah, so we
you
see
guys have an advantage.
We're seeing
it
a different way a little bit. Kind of making our business. Number two, you talking to me?
Is that for me?
That's for you. Yeah, we're doing all five for you. You talking to me?
That would be Taxi.
That is Taxi.
That would be Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver, I'll give that one to you. Number three, Show Me the Money.
Show Me the Money. Oh my God, I know Show Me the Money. That's an easy one.
Everyone knows Show Me the Money.
Think the name of the movie.
Oh my God.
It happens to me all the time. I'm like, I see the actor's face, I'm watching him say it. What's the name of this freaking right? movie?
You know, I want to say Tom Cruise is in that movie. Is that the movie I'm thinking of?
Is it the movie you're thinking of?
It might be.
Ah, God, it's on the tip of my brain. I'm going to have to. Can I pass?
Yeah, you can.
Come back?
Well, no, you can't come back. You can pass and you get the X.
Jerry Maguire.
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
You had to shake it out. You had to literally shake it out of you.
All right, number four. Okay. I'll have what she's having.
Oh, that would be When Harry Met Sally.
That's correct. And number five, if you build it, he will come.
And that would be Field of Dreams.
That's correct. All right, Drew. All
right, man.
Here we go.
All right.
Number one, I see dead people.
The Sixth Sense.
That's correct. Number two, Houston, we have a problem.
Apollo 13.
That's correct. Number three, a boy's best friend is his mother.
Psycho.
That's correct. Number four, here's looking at you, kid.
Oh, man.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Hot seat.
I know who says it, and I know who's saying it, right, too. Right.
Carl shook his out. Now you got to shake yours out, too.
I know. That's
man.
What I did, right? I shook. You guys can't see, but I actually shook. I shook it out of my brain.
Here's looking at you, kid. You're good. Give Drew a second here.
Sure.
This is one of the ones when I wrote it down, I was like, ooh, would I be able to
the
get
Maltese
this one?
The Maltese Falcon.
Oh, so close,
no.
Drew. So
I
close.
I know it was Humphrey.
Casablanca.
Casablanca.
The Maltese Falcon quote was, the thing dreams are made of, was that quote.
Yes.
And, yeah, that was that big one. And number five, Drew, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Once again.
That's one of those ones where it's like the quote is out there in the universe and people don't even know what the movie's
where
from.
Where it came from.
Yeah.
That's right. That becomes the lexicon of our freaking culture.
It's crazy.
Yes. That's my
I can't think of the name of the movie.
Cool Hand Luke.
Cool
Hand Luke. So Carl wins. Congratulations.
Woo!
Drew
Chester.
Is 10-5.
Getting stomped these last couple weeks.
The cold weather doesn't agree with Drew Sakai. Let me tell you.
I got to say that the
winter is coming.
Here's Looking at You is a tough one because
that one
there's
was
another famous. There's so many famous quotes from that movie.
There's that.
All the gin joints in all the world.
Yeah. This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Round up the usual suspects.
Casablanca had like five in the top 50.
Yeah,
for sure. And I went with that one. I was like, this one's kind of tough, but not too tough. And so there we go. All right.
Good picks.
Thank you. All right. So Trigger the Movie, check that out. And then real quick, what other projects do you have going on?
Okay, cool. Everybody should check out Leilani Wolfgram's music video, Sunshine.
His name is Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
People, check out the video.
Good video.
Check that out.
Seriously.
Thank you so much.
Dudes, check out the video. For
dudes.
Real. ladies,
dudes,
you'll like it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's great music.
It's great music.
It's very chill.
Mm-hmm. Polynesian reggae.
Polynesian reggae. I was going to ask you. I was going to say Filipino reggae, Polynesian reggae.
Poly reggae. Yeah.
Poly reggae. Yeah, poly reggae. That's what you
and
said.
And it's starting to blow up, man, that poly reggae thing.
So
know?
She's getting really big out on the West Coast then.
Yeah.
I imagine
she's
that's
actually,
more West Coast thing.
She's originally from Orlando, Florida.
Nice.
You know, out by OBT.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to tour with her brothers, Horizon,
okay.
The band.
Mm-hmm.
She's opened up for The Villain, Slightly Stupid, Ballyhoo.
Nice.
So it's that genre.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I just did that. Also, I'm putting out a television series
mm-hmm.
next year.
Nice.
Not sure who's going to pick it up yet, but my distribution channels are talking to me about possibly Hulu, Netflix type of thing.
Okay,
nice.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be called, it's Underground Battle.
Underground Battle's the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Underground Battle.
I watched, you sent me a link to a trailer.
Yeah.
So what did I watch then online? Because I looked up Underground Battle and it was the Goat Locker.
It's the Goat Locker Gym.
Which is, I assume, Goat, greatest of all time. Not literally goats.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
Different goat.
Even though it is the Philippines.
That's what I was
thinking.
It was the Philippines. That's where I got the Philippines from, by the way.
No diggity.
So what is that? They already did some work on a show over there?
We have 8 episodes already shot.
Okay.
Done. So we have season 1.
Okay.
And basically, a retired Master Chief. Jefe is his nickname,
mm-hmm.
right? He got out of the Navy and he went ahead and started Goat Locker Gym as a way to beat up poverty. So what he's doing is he's taking kids that are talented
mm-hmm.
from the poverty-stricken areas of the Philippines.
Yep.
He's training them, male and females.
Okay.
And he's doing mixed martial arts with them. It's kind of like UFC kind of thing. They have an octagon.
Mm-hmm.
The octagon is portable. They've taken it to the beach.
So they can take it to the take it to the kids.
Yep, take it to the kids. They've taken it to actually one of the meanest, toughest neighborhoods in Manila.
Whoa.
When I was over in the Philippines, they were like, please do not go there.
Really?
They won't even find your body parts.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? That's how intense
it is. That's scary. Yeah,
so that's going to be on next year. I'm going to go ahead and post everywhere, at Video Verna on my Facebook,
yes.
et cetera.
Video Verna on Twitter.
Video Verna on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the website up, and that's going to be on and popping.
And then you're going over for the second season. You're going over to direct the episodes.
Yep.
So you're going to be going around, and it's a kind of a reality show, right? Because you're finding the actual kids. It's a real program.
Yep.
That's going to be very interesting. I'm looking forward to talking to you after you do it see how you approach a reality program as opposed to what we know as reality TV these days and all the setups and everything.
Yeah.
I like to find out, you know, some real backstage stuff on that one.
Absolutely.
That's going to be very cool.
I'd be more than willing to come back and talk about that.
Excellent. Very excited about that.
And then the last thing, I mean, I of course, N-Word is still there.
Yeah, the comic book N-Word. That's That's right.
Yeah. I basically, what I had to do is, you know, prioritize everything.
Absolutely.
I was getting so much stuff coming on my plate, and I was just like, okay, let me just figure out what needs to happen first.
What is closer to happening? Yep. What's going to bring in money?
Exactly.
Sure.
I know N-Word's not going to bring in money right away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just want to get it out. It's a passion project.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
I got to pay bills. Exactly. Yeah. So, and then the last thing, I'm doing a music video for a guy by the name of Ant Grant. I'm going to be shooting that on Full Sail's campus before the end of the year.
Okay.
Ant Grant is a rapper, singer, actor from Toronto, Canada.
Okay.
He's actually going to play the part of Dame Dash, who dated Aaliyah in the Aaliyah movie.
The Lifetime Aaliyah movie. Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so he plays that part. So,
nice.
Yeah, so other than all the other little things I got going on, those are the big ones.
Popping. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, brother. Thank you, man.
Staying busy. That's what I like. That's what I like about you, Carl. I'm never going to ask you what's going on. You're going to be like, nothing.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I got miles to feed.
I don't know, man. Just hanging out.
They also call me Video Verna the Money Earner. So
obvious.
Somebody just coined that.
That's a good one.
An actress that I know. She was like, Money Earner.
I'm going to write that one down. I want to forget that one. The Money Earner.
Add it to the list.
Yeah.
And it was actually SBK who coined
Cool Carl. Yeah, which cracks me up. I love that one.
Carl calling from the cockpit of the Cadillac. When I had the Cadillac.
What do you mean? Now it's post-Cadillac.
Now it's post-Cadillac.
All right, so let's get into, I got a bunch of things here to talk about. Did you get a chance, Carl, to check out that Judge Dredd cartoon?
Oh my God, you sick bastard.
Wasn't that
crazy? So good.
That is so good.
It's called Judge Dredd Super Fiend, and it's a bootleg cartoon. It's like kind of like a fan.
I was just about to ask.
Yeah, because it's not official. It's totally unofficial, but the guy who produced it is one of the main producers from the Dredd movie.
Oh.
So he's obsessed with Dredd.
Got it.
And he just wanted to put something out there that was a little different from the movie.
It's crazy dark.
Oh, yeah, it
funny
is.
Funny.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely like dark comedy, but like the darkest of comedy.
Oh,
done in like a 90s animated style. You know, very cool. It's a six-part series, but then each part is only like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
How did you find it, by the way?
I just saw online, like people started posting articles about it because it was weird how in the beginning of October, this producer, he announced, we're doing Judge Dredd Super Fiend. And that came out of nowhere. A week and a half later, here's a teaser trailer.
Wow.
Like, whoa.
Wow.
2 weeks later, here's all six episodes.
What do you think? So you like that animation style?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool because it's kind of a throwback. It's more it looks more hand drawn as opposed to like the like the 3D look of modern cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more organic feeling, right?
Yeah. And it's definitely an adult cartoon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm still struggling with what my animated series is going to look like. Like I'm asking people, it's like, what styles do you like?
What are people into?
What are people into?
I definitely, because they were going with kind of like a Ren and Stimpy type feel, right, Drew, you would say?
Ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It was, I mean, what did you think of the whole thing?
I mean, I thought the animation style was a little sloppy, but that's the animation style that we're going for.
Well, also, I think because the money they were putting into it. Like,
there's nothing.
There's like car chase scenes where that looks more like here's cheap CG animation just to get a point.
But it works
what we wanna do.
For it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It does.
For the most part, it
totally
does work.
It works for it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I liked it. Thanks for sending that to me, man.
Cool. I'm glad you like it. People, I think people
I thought it was good.
It
I really enjoyed it.
And I really like that it focused on Judge Death. Because Judge Death is a fun character. It's like his origin story. It's a fucked up origin story. And I really like the line, the true crime is life, and the sentence is death.
And the sentence is death.
I was like, ooh, that's nice. That's creepy. That's scary. So check that out, people. Judge Dredd Super Fiend. You can see that on the YouTube, all six for free, because they legally cannot make money off that.
For real?
Yeah, it's a totally bootleg. They don't have any of those rights.
Interesting.
Yeah. If AD 2000 Comics wanted to bust them.
Oh, that's true.
They totally could. But they probably won't.
Why would they? I'm just curious. Why don't they just? It is a perversion of
of the, you know what I mean? Well,
compared to what we've seen in the movies, even the Dread movie that's on a Netflix, which is totally badass, doesn't get as extreme as that cartoon.
I know.
You know, that cartoon got sick.
It's raw, man.
Yeah, it got really raw at times for sure. Yeah. And
but when would they collaborate? And just say, hey, listen, we'll get together.
He did get to produce the Dread movie, and that movie, it didn't make any money theatrically, but it's doing well post, you know, in the home video market, so to speak, and the streaming, the slow-mo so badass, right? So
where
hopefully
can I get some slow-mo?
At Peachtree's. Right. You got to go to Peachtree's and talk to the mama gang and hope a judge doesn't sentence you to.
I know, right?
Oh, man. All right. We got a. Since the last time we've been on, Carl, we've added a new segment.
Okay.
And we got our homeboy Billy D up in New York City.
That's what's up.
He's our New York City senior correspondent and horror film analyst. That's and he does a new segment every week that we call Billy D's Death at the Movies. And I got an intro song. Where is it? Wait. Death at the Movies. Here we go. Lyrics.
You do.
Billy D's death at the.
So glad you made it. I had the last line.
I did stop. I hit play twice. All right, here we go. Billy D's death at the movies. He hits us up every week, writes about a different movie. See what he says this week. He writes, "What is up, my dudes? Hope everyone had a rad Halloween. My Halloween was made truly exceptional by being invited to catch a screening of The Babadook."
Ooh,
you got to see The Babadook. Have you heard of this one?
No.
This played, I think it had one screening at the Florida Film Festival this year, and it was solely packed out screening. Oh. It's a horror film that's a ghost story type horror film thing from Australia.
Oh.
Getting really good buzz.
Feature length
film.
Okay.
Let's see what they say here, what Billy Dee says here about The Babadook.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to say about this movie is that you shouldn't hesitate to see this. It is hands down the scariest movie you'll likely see for a long time. Ooh, that's intriguing. Mm. I am hard-pressed to think of another film that dug a pit in my stomach this deep without being excessive, abrasive, and transgressive.
Interesting.
This is just pure, unadulterated horror, and I loved every tooth-shattering second. Ooh, I wonder if that means tooth-shattering.
Mm. Tooth-shattering.
When it comes out, you must see it. You must tell the people. Stay cool, Billy D.
Billy D with the hookup.
Billy D, let us know. The Babadook.
Wow.
I've seen a couple trailers for The Babadook in front of a couple like horror movies, obviously. And it's definitely a spooky-looking movie, for sure. And he knows that we're not the biggest on horror films, so if he's recommending a horror film to us.
And that's Baba? Yeah.
Baba, B-A-B-A, Duke, D-O-O-K, like baby poopy.
Oh.
The Babadook.
Baba
I think it's an Australian thing, I'm pretty sure.
That's like... what's that? Chupacabra?
Chupacabra.
Yeah,
Chupacabra.
The goat sucker.
Chupa means goat.
Ah.
Cabra means to suck.
I never knew that.
No, I don't think that's true.
Being educated here.
I don't think so.
But he's pulling my leg.
When growing up in New York City, it was no difficult task to find an airbrushed Chupacabra shirt.
I'm
Chupacabra saying, standing there with the Puerto Rican like t-shirt.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
He's like that. Maybe his eyes are red.
Goat horns.
Let me see. Actually, we'll go with, got some questions here. Well, you know what? I'm trying to encourage people on Twitter to hit us up with their own little mini movie reviews. They see movies.
Yeah.
Let us know what they think, right?
Yeah.
I got a couple this week from people on Twitter.
Okay.
At Matt Celery writes, John Wick is probably somewhere watching an ASPCA commercial and cleaning his guns.
Probably.
Oh.
John Wick, man. You got to see John Wick.
Yeah.
The new Keanu Reeves movie is quite good.
Yeah.
It is the dopeness.
You know how they do it towards the end of the year. They just slam
so many movies out there.
Man.
And this is one where it's like counter-program. It's like, oh, here's all the serious movies, and here's a badass action movie.
Okay, cool.
It is good.
It's on the list. It is really good.
Mr. Nathan writes, Snowpiercer. Whoa. Fuck. Whoa. Fuck. Babies.
Yes. Whoa, fuck,
well, that
babies.
Last part was like crazy.
Well, if you see the movie,
you'll
understand the
baby. Yeah.
Snowpiercer, Carl, is on the Netflix.
Yeah.
It's the $37 million sci-fi movie from South Korea. Whoa. Their biggest budgeted film ever.
Wow.
$37 million.
Holy moly.
And even though it's a South Korean film, it's like 95% in English. It's starring Chris Evans, Tilda Swinton, John Hurt.
Oh, wow.
And the dude from Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. He's done a bunch of Korean movies, the host. Oh. It's directed by the guy who did the host, Bong Joon-ho. Bong Joon-ho?
I know that guy. I'm just kidding.
You should know that guy, man, because he is good. Yeah. His movies. He made the host. He made Mother. And
Mother, I love Mother.
Mother, the South Korean one.
That was, yes.
And he did a movie about the first South Korean serial killer called Memories of Murder. That's his first movie. Great. Dude, this guy is, he's a natural.
Great concepts.
He is so good. And Snowpiercer, dude, you want a great concept. Snowpiercer takes place in a world in which, you know, just a science fiction, because the world has pretty much accepted global warming, right?
Yes.
And they want to stop global warming. So all the scientists, they shoot some chemical into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
They shot some chemical into the atmosphere, yeah, and to cool down the atmosphere, to cool down the world. It works too well, plunges the world into nuclear winter.
Nice.
And everything freezes. It's a new ice age. All nice. The world survivors are on a train that's making a 365-day loop around the world, and that's the Ark. And all the rich people live in the front of the train, and all the poor people live in the back. And the movie starts, it's like 14 years after the train got set into motion.
Yeah,
and it's all about the revolution. The poor people, they're going to fucking revolt and push their way to the front of the train.
That's dope stuff right there.
It's an awesome, awesome movie.
Okay, yeah.
So to repeat Nadathon's review, whoa, fuck, babies. Yep. And also, at jhi87 hit me up on Twitter. He wrote, dude, with 3 U's. Snowpiercer was great. Glad I heard about it from the show.
Nice.
So it is. So that's two people chiming in this week. Yeah, words getting out. Snowpiercer, check it out.
Gangsta
it is.
Boogie.
It is awesome.
Gangsta Boogie.
I know I got a question here on the Facebook from good old Tom Lucas. Good guy. We love this guy. He chimes in this week with, does the new Terminator really need Arnold?
Wow, that's a damn good question.
I don't know.
You know what? Even the last one had a CG Arnold in it, which looked horrible.
Yeah, that
looked so bad.
Yeah. You know what? Hollywood marketing departments need to stay out of storylines and script ideas.
Yeah, they're the ones who need Arnold.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they want to put Arnold all over that marketing.
And that's what Hollywood is. Hollywood is directing by committee and
regurgitating ideas.
Yeah, as it's corporatized.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I long to see the days where directors are running the show again.
Oh, like the 70s?
Yeah, man.
Ooh, man.
That would be dope.
Hopefully we'll get some good movies.
Apocalypse Now and The Godfather. And yeah, that was a time.
Yeah, because then you wouldn't do, no director would be like, nah, I'm going to put an old ass Arnold. And Terminator. No, man.
Now, old ass Arnold in King Conan.
Yes.
That's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Old ass Arnold in the Terminator. I don't know. Do we really? I don't think we need it. But we're getting it.
I say no.
But we're getting it. So our opinions don't matter because it's happening.
Hollywood.
We'll talk more about the Terminator 5 plot details in a little bit because I have those.
Nice.
He also writes, what would you rather see? Avengers Civil War with Iron Man. I wonder if he means Captain America Civil War with Iron Man versus. Actually, no. Okay, this is some sort of dream movie he wants us to imagine.
Okay.
Would we rather watch Avengers Civil War with Iron Man versus Spider-Man or Suicide Squad with Harley Quinn?
Oh, God, that's tough.
Me thinks someone was on that chem dog when they came up with this question.
Yeah, seriously.
That diesel sour, yo.
Oh, my God.
What the heck? Drew, you're a comic book guy. Would you rather see an Avengers Civil War movie with Iron Man versus Spider-Man? Or Suicide Squad, which is relatively new, with Harley Quinn.
I guess I'd rather see the Iron Man versus Spider-Man.
Iron Man versus Spider-Man Avengers.
Yeah.
Carl?
Randomness. It just seems like...
The randomness.
I mean, it's just the randomness. Two superheroes who never had anything to do with each other ever, really.
Have they, Drew?
Well, I mean, Spider-Man has been in and out of the Avengers and the Fantastic Four and all sorts of silly other things.
He's bounced around.
It just doesn't feel like their worlds should collide. I don't know.
Well, especially cinematically. The cinematic worlds, though.
Well, yeah. Well, it's also... It's the whole New York LA thing.
True.
Yeah.
You know, true. It's East Coast, West Coast.
That's why you
a good part of it. Well, yeah.
That's why you have Avengers.
Tony Stark's on the West Coast and Spider-Man's on the East Coast.
Then now that he said that,
so,
I would go with that.
There you go.
Yeah. I didn't imagine that part.
So then it's pretty much just a big allegory for Biggie versus Tupac.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Right? And then S.H.I.E.L.D., they kill Biggie and Tupac.
Correct.
Yeah.
And they blame it on rogue villains.
Yes.
To try to unite everyone against villainy.
Correct.
Right? Isn't that how the Biggie Tupac thing went down?
Let's start writing
maybe.
The
script.
It's all right. He also wants to talk about, in general, DC versus Marvel, but I'm going to take that another step further. I went online and I found the release schedules, because they just announced Marvel announced their release schedule through 2019.
Wow.
Recently, DC announced theirs through 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
And Fox announced theirs through 2020. So I have here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 comic book movies between now and 2020 with release dates. Another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 without release dates.
Okay.
So here we go, guys.
Let's get cracking.
These are all the comic book movies coming out. I know, right?
Let's get.
It's going to take a minute, guys. starting in May 1st, 2015. That's our next comic book movie. It's almost a year away.
Okay.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Of course.
They already got the trailers out. Mm-hmm. July 17, Ant-Man. And that Ant-Man is apparently going to be the end of Phase 2 for Marvel.
Oh.
So that's the end of that one. And then August 7th, Fantastic Four.
Ooh,
so
boy.
So that's next summer. Fantastic Four being done by the guy who did Chronicle.
Okay.
And,
okay.
He did something else, I can't remember.
So it's not my buddy Tim Story.
It is not Tim Story.
Oh, Tim.
It's not Tim. They got some
Tim
new.
Tim and I are good friends.
They got some new young guy. Yeah, every time we mention Fantastic Four on the show, we're like, shout out to Tim Story.
Because
we know he's listening now.
Yep. Yeah, of course he is.
So he's listening.
Number three. Guest number three. Tim Story, maybe?
That'd be awesome.
Totally.
Yeah, get him on.
All right.
Please.
Remember that?
I think we asked that last time.
Did you really?
We might have. I don't know. I'd love to have Tim Story on here. Talk about barbershop all day. 2016 is a packed year. February 12th, Deadpool with Ryan Reynolds.
Ooh.
That's Fox. That's happening. What do you think about that, Drew?
I think it's going to be good as long as they do it right.
Oh, you know, Ryan Reynolds is behind it.
They tried.
And he loves the character. He loves the character.
He already tried and failed.
Yeah, but that was that X-Men Origins Wolverine. He didn't have much sway over what they could do with Deadpool, you know?
He still tried and failed.
All right, we'll see. Drew on the skeptical side.
Okay.
March 25th, epic Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Just Ice.
Wow.
Already March 25th of 2016.
That's a big one.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And then they have all of April to make their money.
Yeah.
Because then May 6th, Captain America 3.
Woo!
Just called Captain America Civil War. And that's the one where it's Captain America versus Iron Man. Instead of doing Iron Man 4, they're just putting Iron Man in the Captain America
sense.
Movie. Yeah. It's Marvel. That's what they want to do now, right? A couple weeks after that, X-Men Apocalypse.
Okay.
And that's going to finish the trilogy that was started with First Class. So it would be First Class, Days of Future Past, and then Apocalypse.
Okay.
And then those guys are done. Michael Fassbender, James McAvoy, all those dudes are finished.
I retire those guys.
Might as well. Yeah. Move on. July 8th, Doctor Strange.
Oh, yes.
Benedict Cumberbatch is...
Benedict Cumberbatch, he's the doctor. Yeah.
Do you know Benedict has a huge female following in Europe, England?
I'm sure
especially?
He does.
I'm talking about with like the Justin Bieber crowd.
Oh, yeah, females. like going like just crazy for him,
yeah.
Not a surprise.
Because smart is sexy in England.
Yeah, that's true. And also, he did something, before he did Sherlock, too, he did something that got him popular. And then it was Sherlock on TV over there.
Yeah,
it was Doctor Strange. I mean,
Doctor Who?
Doctor Who, duh.
Did he do Doctor Who?
Yeah, he was one of the doctors.
Was he one of the doctors?
I have no idea.
See, now some Whovians are going to be like,
all right,
pulling over.
I don't watch Doctor Who.
Those guys are insane. The Whovians.
We're pretty geeky over here, but we don't get that.
I think he was. I think he was.
You think he was?
Yeah, I think he was.
Well, since then, he's just been blowing up. I remember I was on SBK Live when they were doing the night shows like 2.5 years ago, and I told him, I was like, we're talking about something. I was like, Benedict Cumberbatch, guys, remember this name. And they were like, Benedict Cumberbatch. And I was like, guys, trust me on this one. You're going to remember this fucking name. I was like, I told you guys about Michael Fassbender, did I not? They're like, yeah, he told us about the Fassbender. It's like, you're going to remember Cumberbatch.
Gangsta Boogie.
Now, a few years later, he's everywhere. He's a very popular dude. And he's going to be Doctor Strange, which will make him even
brilliant
more popular.
Brilliant actor. Brilliant.
He is a very good actor. Yep. Absolutely. August 5th, Suicide Squad. That's going to be directed by David Ayer, who just did Fury.
Okay.
And he did End of Watch, and he wrote Training Day.
Okay.
To get that guy to do a war-themed comic book superhero movie.
Nice.
So that's going to be intense
for sure. Intense.
But it'll be also interesting. He does only R-rated movies.
Mm.
So they're not making an R-rated comic book movie here. Mm-mm. So it's going to see how much can he rein himself in.
Yeah.
Can he tone himself down for PG-13? You know?
Well, good directors can do that.
They can, right?
You know, if he's going to commit to the project, then he already has it in mind what his tone is going to be.
Right.
He's going to get it.
Right. And hopefully, I just hope it's more than just take the blood out. Because I can't stand when a movie's super violent and there's no blood.
No.
Because then you're not showing the consequences.
That's
more dangerous than showing bloody violence.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's risky. And then at the end of the year, November 11th, Sony, they want this to happen. The Sinister Six movie. The Spider-Man movie that's just the villains.
It's going to be so weird.
There's not even going to be any Spider-Man in it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a strange one. Sony, they don't know what's going
it's
on.
It's the anti-hero.
According to IMDb, Benedict Cumberbatch was not a doctor.
He was not a doctor.
Thank you, Drew. But he definitely did something before Sherlock.
I know
that
he did.
That got him the Sherlock role. Remember, so, yeah. Now we're going to 2017. Another packed year. March 3rd, Wolverine 3.
Yes.
Did you ever get to see the Wolverine, the most recent one that was in Japan?
No.
That's a cool movie. That's good.
Wait a minute. The character's in Japan?
The Wolverine is in Japan. The whole movie's in Japan. There's that one scene in the beginning where he's a prisoner of war.
They don't even call him Patch, assholes.
That's all. Drew's the only one that cares about that. There's even a scene where he's in a prisoner of war camp right outside of Nagasaki or Hiroshima. One of the two.
Yeah, when the bomb
goes off. And the bomb gets dropped and he like saves one guy, but the bomb hits him and he's like, and he gets all burned up, but then he's okay because he's Wolverine.
Because he's Wolverine.
Yeah.
But he survived Nagasaki.
He survived the atomic bomb. It's insane.
That ain't badass.
What is, right?
What is?
That's a really good movie, actually. And they're doing a Wolverine 3 March 3rd of 2017. Might be the same director.
Okay.
That's that guy. May 5th, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Nice!
Yeah. I mean, that movie was huge this year.
Yeah.
They announced the sequel like a week before the movie even came out. That's how confident Marvel was and Disney was. So
that movie was brilliant.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun movie.
When that train left that station, it did not come back, man. You were just on a roller coaster ride.
My favorite part of the whole movie is how they ended up inside a severed head of an ancient god floating through space, and like it turned into a mining colony. Like what? That's in a movie for people?
I know.
For the mainstream audience, they were expected to follow that, and they did. That's the most.
The writing was awesome in it. Brilliant writing.
People loved it. They connected somehow. They found this. They touched on that zeitgeist, and they found it.
Chris Pratt, legitimate superstar. Now.
Pratt. He's good. That's his Twitter name.
Pratt.
June 23rd, Wonder Woman. The first female-led superhero movie. Still a few years off, but Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. When is this now, Wonder Woman?
This is June 23rd, 2017.
Wow, 2017. Yeah. Holy smokes.
We're already a few years down the road, and they all have fucking release dates. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
July 14, 2 years after the first one, Fantastic Four 2. So they're...
Wow.
Fox is like, we're making two of these right off the bat. July 28th, the third Thor movie. It's going to be called Thor: Ragnarok.
Okay.
Which is, that's a fun title.
That is.
A fun title. Ragnarok.
Ragnarok's just the Norse apocalypse.
And also, it's also the name of a Gwar album.
Yep.
So. Oh, it sure is.
Yeah. Actually, did they say they're from Ragnarok? The mythology of the, I don't know.
Maybe.
They should.
Gwar is ridiculous. They should. Those guys are crazy.
Yeah.
November 3rd, we finally get the Black Panther movie that they've been teasing for years.
Finally.
For years they've been teasing. They just announced who their Black Panther is, Chadwick Boseman. The guy who was Jackie Robinson in 42 and James Brown in Get On Up.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
He's good in James Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is really good in James Brown. So I think it's a good choice. I think
that
was fine.
Great choice.
And I'm reading rumors online that the character will actually be introduced by Avengers Age of Ultron. Is it? I'm looking over the list. It was either that one or...
So they're going to spin him off of another one.
Yeah, they're introducing him through other movies and Wakanda, his country of Wakanda as well. Yeah. That's all going to tie into the whole Infinity Gauntlet storyline.
You know what's really insane? When I was a teenager reading these comic books in high school, there's no way in heck did I ever think that...
Huge big budget movies?
Yeah. I hoped and wished and dreamed. I was like, let's do this. And now that I'm 30 years old and they're all coming out, it's... freaking awesome.
How dope is that? That is so special.
Yeah. It makes me, the equivalent of that for me is how they opened up an entire Springfield section at Universal Studios. Mm-hmm. And now I can walk around actual Springfield because I was a Simpsons geek when I was a kid. And now I'm like, hey, now I can go to Moe's Tavern and get a Krusty Burger.
Drunk. It just goes to, it just doesn't pay to grow up, man. Stay a kid.
Yeah. It does not pay to grow up. Absolutely. No. And then finishing 2017, November 17, Justice League Part 1.
I knew it. I was going to say Justice League.
Justice League, directed by Zack Snyder.
Wow.
Yeah. So
they're taking these things seriously.
Yeah, so he's committed now to Justice League Part 1 and Part 2.
Wow.
Yes.
So for the next 3 years, we got big blockbuster action superhero
movies. All through 2017. Not done. 2018.
Oh, snap.
March 23rd, The Flash.
Oh, yes.
They're doing The Flash for sure. They're already doing the TV show on CW. Very popular.
What was the guy's name that was in X-Men that...
Quicksilver, yes.
Now...
That character is confirmed coming back for X-Men Apocalypse. There will definitely be another Quicksilver sequence like in Days of Future Past.
I didn't get enough of that guy's character.
It was a little disappointing when he left. Like, that guy turned out to be a lot of fun. It's funny, when he first popped up in the movie and his design, the silver hair, the jacket, I was like, this looks really bad. Yeah. And then...
the character's fun, yeah. and then they do the scene where he's running yeah. around, yeah. and then yeah. the character's gone, and I was like, oh,
I know.
No more Quicksilver.
They made you fall in love with him.
Yeah,
and take
really,
him away.
In a very short amount of time. Very impressive, actually. Same character is going to be in Avengers Age of Ultron, played yes. by the guy who did Kick-Ass.
Oh, cool.
So they're doing their own Quicksilver.
Oh, wow.
May 4th, Avengers Infinity War Part 1. So even Avengers 3 got split into two movies.
Wow.
Blame Harry Potter for that.
Blame Harry Potter for that one. Yeah. Although, true, wouldn't you say maybe the Infinity Gauntlet needed the extra breathing room?
I mean, it definitely could unless they want it to be a clusterfuck.
Right. Trying to avoid clusterfuckery.
Yes, indeed.
July 6th, Captain Marvel. The Lady Captain Marvel, for sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's Marvel's answer to Wonder Woman.
To Wonder Woman.
Yeah, they're like, oh, shit, you guys announced a female comic book movie already? We got to go Captain Marvel then.
It's a real quick thing about Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Like, her biggest powers are the
Lasso of Truth.
Bracelets, the Lasso of Truth, the Invisible Jet.
She's also supposed to be an Amazonian, like warrior queen. Princess, queen. So she's supposed to be a badass. But,
badass,
you know.
Like, knows... I don't know
she's gonna be an amazing warrior.
Yeah,
she's gonna be a Xena warrior princess.
Ugh, I don't know about that. Out of all the ones that you mentioned, that's the only one where I'm kind
of
like.
I think it's part of the reason why it's taken them so long to try to even get a Wonder Woman movie off the ground. They've been talking about it for years, and now I think they're doing it just because they got Justice League and like, well, at least we can tie it all into this and build off of that. So we'll
just
see.
Seeing where they're gonna go with it.
Yeah, July 13, 2018, Fox announced an unknown X-Men movie. Could be X-Force.
Ooh.
That's the only thing
that'd be kind of weird.
Would be weird, but who knows? They don't know. July 27, 2018, Aquaman.
Oh, snap.
Starring Jason Momoa.
That's another one.
That's going to be another weird one, yeah.
That's another weird one.
That's another weird one. But you know what? I mean, the whole thing with Aquaman is that he seems like a wimp. He's a little blonde-haired dude who just swims with the fishes, like wears the orange or green suit. He looks really bad. They went out and they got this huge monster of a man in Jason Momoa, the guy who was in the Conan remake, he did the first season of Game of Thrones. He's a big dude, you know?
Him. Yeah, yeah.
So they got him to be Aquaman. So at the very least, we got like a badass looking Aquaman.
Wow. Interesting that they went with that choice, but that makes sense. To beef him up a little bit, get the character some gravitas.
Yeah, exactly. Because otherwise, you just got, you got Hitler's dream Aryan race guy. You're like, the fish. We must save the fish.
Interesting how the whole Entourage, what was it, the last two seasons?
The Vinny Chase got the Aquaman movie, and James Cameron directed it, and it was a huge hit. So many things implausible about all that. So that's how you knew it was fiction.
I know.
And then finishing 2018, November 2nd, Inhumans is that's going to be Marvel's answer to X-Men because Fox has all the X-Men rights.
Yeah.
But Marvel, they want to make movies with mutants. So they recently came up with this Inhumans comic book line, and they're going to be pushing that as a movie. And that's going to be born out of the Avengers movie somehow.
Is the comic book line out?
Yes.
Is it doing okay?
Yeah, but I think it's fairly recent, though. It's from, like, maybe starting 2005, something like that.
Interesting, because the reason why a lot of these films work is because they have such huge fan bases.
And rich histories to pull from. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So, but these guys, this is kind of like this is them launching something brand new.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Ooh, that's a big gamble.
A big gamble. Very big ambitious. Gamble. But up to this point, their gambles have paid off. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow.
That was a huge gamble for them.
Yeah.
And it paid off. It like, paid oh my God. Time. 2019. All right. Now only a few handful of movies here, but still. April 5th, 2019. Shazam.
Ooh.
Shazam.
And
Shazam.
Shazam has not been cast, but Black Adam has been.
Wow.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is Black Adam.
Holy moly. Wow. They're digging up all the comic books.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. For sure. Shazam. And you know what? Dwayne Johnson finally getting a character. Black Adam, that works for me, man.
That's dope. That's dope. I like that idea, too.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And to get him a good Shazam, and they're off to the races. Uh-huh. 2019, May 3rd, Avengers Infinity War Part 2. So all that's finally going to end at that point.
Okay.
June 14th, a little over a month later. Justice League Part 2. So that's going to be a big summer right there for those movies.
That's a big summer.
And then in 2020, April 3rd, Cyborg. Because they're going to introduce the Cyborg character in these Marvel movies.
Oh,
and then he's getting his own movie in 2020.
Yeah.
June 19, Warner Brothers is going to give it another go. And they're going to try that Green Lantern once again.
With somebody else.
With someone else.
Oh, that was such a bad movie.
Yeah, it was.
It was awful.
That was unfortunate.
It was
unfortunate film.
And I like Green Lantern. I like the comic book guy.
I like Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, I liked him.
I was like, this guy, I mean, he has a natural it factor to watch in a movie. He's watchable, but then the movie just...
Miscast.
Not
totally
good.
Miscast.
Just not good. Also, movies announced, but no release dates.
Okay.
X-Force, already mentioned it. Gambit. Yeah. Channing Tatum is Gambit. Wow. He's going to be in X-Men Apocalypse as Gambit, but they're going to give him his own movie.
Good one.
Sandman, the Neil Gaiman Sandman, they're doing that.
Mm.
Guillermo del Toro's producing Justice League Dark, which is like the paranormal division of Justice League.
Interesting.
So it's going to be all like, you know, ghosts and shit like that. Right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, is Man of Steel 2.
Oh.
They don't have a release date for that, but it's happening.
Oh, wow.
As is The Batman.
Okay.
Which will be the first post-Chris Nolan Batman solo movie. Rumor has it, Affleck will be Batman for The Batman, and he'll direct it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. He's got directing chops.
Oh, for sure. I mean, movie by movie, he's just getting better and better and better. It's pretty crazy how much better he's gotten.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gone Baby Gone's a good movie,
mm-hmm.
but it felt like visually... It could have been a TV movie.
Visually
speaking.
Yeah, visually speaking. Yeah.
By the time he got to Argo, it's like things are epic. Now he's telling a much smaller story, but it feels bigger.
Let me tell you, he shot that in Canada.
Yeah. Is that something?
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that something?
I'm still like, that's impressive.
That's that location scouting and set dressing. And those guys knew what they were doing.
When you got that good team, man.
Surround yourself with the best.
That's it. The first thing I do when I put a team together, the first thing I need to find is the DP.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I got my three guys, and if they're not around, I start to freak out a little bit.
Well, then at that point, once you be like, I'll just have to do this myself.
Oh, hell no.
Because you can light us. You can light us.
No.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
put the one light up front. You got the one over here at 45 degrees. You got the back light, right?
3-point lighting. Yeah,
I read the books.
But then when you want to tell the story visually, that's a whole other story.
We're just talking about light and shadow. That's all. Just the art of light and shadow.
You know what? My favorite DPs, they help me tell the story through the lens. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I'll have my idea on how I want to block the scene completely.
Yeah.
I'll have my ideas, and then they'll come in and they'll be that second set of eyes, no pun intended at all. And they'll say, hey, let's just put the camera between the microphone and the laptop.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, oh, I never thought of that.
Absolutely.
So it's always that collaboration.
About stuff like that. It's like when we were just watching Nightcrawler, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy, Dan Gilroy, right? He wrote it and directed it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have very many directing credits. He only did like one or two other movies. And those movies, not so hot.
Okay.
You know, even visually, kind of flat.
Okay.
Nightcrawler pops.
Yeah.
It is. Gotcha. It's fucking, it's beautiful.
Okay.
It's shot by fucking Elswit, Roger Elswit.
Oh.
So
he's a master genius.
The Coens use this guy, you know, he's so good. If they can't get Deakins, they get Elswit. He's a P.T. Anderson guy, right?
Absolutely.
So I'm thinking as I'm watching the movie, then I'm like, oh, how much of this is Elswit? How much did he say? Oh, what if we lit this way? Or we got these colors to pop this way?
And you know what? I've been there when that's happened.
Which it's always great, too.
And it's always amazing. And That's one of the reasons why a lot of times when Hollywood gives a new director a chance, they team them up with a guy like that.
Totally. Like the kind of, I don't want to say hold their hand, but help them out along
kinda
the way.
It kind of is.
Yeah, because they need that sometimes, for sure.
Uh-huh.
I had another example, but I forgot. All right. I got a few stories here. Let's jump through this real quick. Google Glass.
Okay, what's going on with Google Glass?
Banned where now? Where else has it been banned?
Getting banned in movie theaters, Drew.
Yep.
The Motion Picture Association of America and National Association of Theater Owners have teamed up, and they're like, we are banning these shits. Because it's so easy to sit down with your glasses on, hit record.
Oh my God, hit record.
Yeah,
piracy. But remember the last time I was on the show, and I said a great application would be like when you go to the bathroom, and you
to keep watching,
keep watching.
That would be cool.
And then you turn it back in when you know what I mean?
You could do something like that.
Totally.
I saw online somewhere, I think it was like Sweden or something, a movie theater where they put screens in the bathroom floor in front of the toilet. So, like, if you're sitting on the toilet, you're looking at the screen and it's showing the movie.
And it's showing the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sit in the toilet all day and watch movies.
Don't even join general population. Your own little VIP cubicle.
Your own shit cubicle. Hey, that works for me. And you know what? This already has come up before. One guy, this article points out here, I got this from Slash Film. Earlier this year, a man who had prescription lenses in his Google Glass was pulled out of a screening of Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit at an AMC in Ohio. Oh. Department of Homeland Security detained him for hours before determining he had not been recording the movie.
Oh,
MPAA eventually apologized.
Wow.
When you have Google Glass, what does it record? What is it like how does it record?
It's all set up.
Is there
right
an SD drive? Like, how can you? I mean, I could.
It uploads to the drive.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, where would it go?
I think if it doesn't upload automatically, then there's memory on the glasses. It's on there.
Yeah, but you can't. can you do a whole movie?
And I mean, you could. I mean,
oh, I see what you're talking about.
They make tiny SD cards that are like 5-6 gigs these days. Yeah, if you can swap out. Be able to fit in there.
Yeah, if you can swap out the. Yeah, you can probably swap out the card. Get more memory in there.
Okay,
there you go.
I see.
Yeah, it's doable, so that's why it's banned.
That's why it's banned.
I'm pretty sure this is a sign of the end of the world right here. But there's an Aaron Sorkin scripted, Danny Boyle directed movie starring Christian Bale and Seth Rogen.
What?
I'm almost positive I read that in Revelation somewhere. It was like seven had a dragon, they sound the trumpets, Aaron Sorkin shall write the script that Danny Boyle shall have directed with Christian Bale and Seth Rogen.
Now, I would love to hear Aaron Sorkin dialogue coming out of Seth Rogen's mouth.
Yeah.
What the hell is that going to be like?
Well, a lot of the dialogue is coming out of Christian Bale's mouth because we're talking about the Steve Jobs movie.
Okay.
Aaron Sorkin adapted a Steve Jobs book, a biography by this fellow called Walter Isaacson. And his screenplay is described as having only three scenes, each surrounding a keynote event in the history of Apple. So, for example, the first one probably be the keynote when they talked about the introducing of the personal computer.
Yeah.
Second one is, you know, probably I think it's the his next company when he left Apple. Mm. It's a company he started in the 90s.
Yep.
And then the third one's going to be the iPod.
Okay.
So, but the whole movie is like the 30 minutes leading up to these speeches.
Oh.
And so every frame is going to have Christian Bale as Jobs running around like a madman, spitting out that Sorkin dialogue.
Yeah, yeah.
Seth Rogen is Steve Wozniak.
Oh, of course. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So
okay,
I mean, got it. Fat guy with a scraggly beard and glasses. Yeah.
Rogen.
Call me Rogen. Give me that Rogen. that's going to be fascinating.
Good concept.
Sorkin's been working on that screenplay for a few years now. Ever since he's been doing Social Network, he's been working on that screenplay.
Okay.
That Ashton Kutcher movie beat him to the Jobs punch, but.
What do you think about Ashton's role?
I didn't see the movie, but I read pretty recently that Ashton Kutcher kills it. And it almost makes me want to watch the movie to see how well he did.
I thought he did great.
Yeah.
Even his walk. He got
all that stuff down. Yeah. I heard that, unfortunately, the movie around him is kind of lackluster.
It's also after school special almost.
Exactly. Very superficial.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot, actually, that Ashton Kutcher is one of the best auditions in Hollywood. Like, he... Cold audition. If he walks into a room, you hand him a paper he's never seen before. Yeah. He will fucking kill it every single time.
Yeah, I could believe that after watching that Steve Jobs because I was skeptical. How's he gonna pull that
off? Just the thing is he's Ashton Kutcher though. It's a 70s show. You see him. It's like it's a guy with all the fucking camera commercials.
It's gonna be a while before you can get past that.
Yeah, for him to actually be he's an actor.
Yeah,
we'll see.
And he's got the transformation, man. Gain some weight, lose some weight,
do a Christian Bale. Exactly right. Yeah, that works. Coen Brothers, my favorite director.
Yes,
they're my favorite.
Absolutely.
We got details on their next movie.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, not coming out until February 2016.
Jesus.
But it's a movie they've been working on for a while.
Okay.
I've read about this project a long time ago. It's called Hail Caesar.
Oh.
Okay. Official synopsis. Hail Caesar follows a single day in the life of a studio fixer who is presented with plenty of problems to fix, meaning a movie studio. It takes place during the... 40s, the 40s or 50s.
Say that.
So it's gonna be
during
a little screwball. Yes, golden age
of filmmaking.
Cast includes George Clooney, he's back.
Nice.
Josh Brolin, Ralph Fiennes,
nice.
Tilda Swinton, Channing Tatum, Scarlett Johansson, and Jonah Hill.
Wow.
Hell of a cast.
That's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be funny. Now this is interesting. This article here, I got this from Slash Film, and they're just reporting from various outlets.
Yeah.
They're saying that this is gonna be the third of the Coen Brothers Idiots trilogy. But I think it's actually their fourth.
Because Hudsucker Proxy should be in
there. Hudsucker Proxy could fit in the Idiots trilogy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's the Idiots trilogy with Clooney. Because it starts with Oh Brother, mm-hmm. where he does play an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Intolerable Cruelty.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then they did Burn After Reading. And then I remember Clooney describing that as being this is the end. This is the end of the Idiots trilogy, which then at that time I was like, that means no Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
I thought Hail Caesar was dead back then, but it's back up here. It's George Clooney's back. He's going to he's gonna be mad mugging for the camera again.
Nice.
So, that's going to be a lot of fun. February 2016, though. We got a while to go for that
Good ability he has to go from extreme comedy
to
serious
comedy. Absolutely. And the Coens know how to use that, too. His smugness, that he can channel from, they know how to use them perfectly. Yeah. Jordan Peele. You talk about the show the show before. Key and Peele are blowing up in Hollywood, right? They have so many projects. Peace Academy, reboot, so many things. Jordan Peele apparently
has a crawl up his butt. He wants to make a horror film.
Really?
Badly. And he's getting to make one called Get Out.
There we go.
Peele is set to write and direct a horror film called Get Out. This is according to an interview he did with Playboy. Okay. Quote, I've been spending the first half of my career focusing on comedy, but my goal, in all honesty, is to write and direct horror movies. I have one that I'm working on with Darko Entertainment called Get Out. I don't want to say too much about it, but it is one of the very, very few horror movies that does jump off of racial fears. That, to me, is a world that hasn't been explored, specifically the fears of being a black man today, the fears of being any person who feels like they're a stranger in any environment that is foreign to them. It deals with the protagonist that I don't see in horror movies.
Wow.
That is exciting.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Good stuff, man.
And, you know, if you watch their show, there are plenty of skits they do that are horror themed.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
You know, I mean, they go monsters and craziness all the time.
Their timing is, it's kind of have that horror feel.
I wonder if that's more his influence than like Keegan sitting there like, oh, Peele's here with another horror skit, you know, trying to scratch that itch, you know. But yeah, they're doing that on top of the Police Academy. That character that Keegan plays, a substitute teacher character, where he mispronounces all the white guys' names, like A.A. Aronson or whatever.
Aaron.
They're doing a substitute teacher movie based on that character.
Oh, that's good.
And apparently they're doing.
I like that character.
Yeah, it's a fun character. Yeah. And then they're doing another movie about a stolen cat, and that movie's gonna be called Keanu, and it has nothing to do with Keanu. Yeah. So.
A movie about a stolen cat.
Yeah. And that's all. That's the only description I have.
Well, people say my concepts are weird.
Yep.
Yeah, but when get weirder
when you got that Key and Peele clout.
Word.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want.
And finally, like I said, I have some Terminator Genesis information on how they made the screenplay even happen, how they had the story happen. Let me see. Basically, I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
In this new Terminator movie, it will depart from the Terminator films we know and love in some significant ways. One of these is the backstory of Sarah Connor, now a girl who's been raised since age 9 by the T-800.
Oh, wow.
So what happened was the T-800 went back to kill Sarah Connor.
Yep.
Doesn't do it properly. Goes back even further than 1984 because she's a kid.
Yeah.
And then for some reason raises her.
So weird.
So the Terminator is like a dad. Which is then why... Because I read another interview with James Cameron where he points out, well, the Terminator, it's living tissue on top of a skeleton.
Yep.
So that living tissue can age.
Yeah.
So that's how we're going to get old-looking Arnold, because his living tissue aged normally, even though he's a robot on the inside.
So this
movie is all about Sarah Connor growing up with a Terminator dad.
Okay, that's different.
And her struggling with the idea that the future that was supposed to happen for her isn't happening the way that it was set. Yeah, so that
paradox.
Yes, exactly. So that's how they're going to try to tie in all the Terminator movies together, but still do their own thing. And also, you guys
time traveling movies are
they're fun.
Give me a headache.
You can do whatever.
They're fun.
You can just make it up as you go.
If you got the guys going back and forth enough times, you lose people. just watch the movie.
Like Back to the Future, it's like just show up and watch.
Through Entertainment Weekly, they put out a couple of publicity stills, so you guys can see. I think they look kind of boring, actually, but you can see the actors they got in there. And Drew, here's the dude Jason Clark from. Planet of the Apes. Jason Clark is Kyle Reese in the future.
Okay.
Jai Courtney, who's that other bland white dude in there, he's the guy from the Die Hard movie and Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
He's Kyle Reese.
Okay.
And then that girl, that's Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. She's Sarah Connor.
Oh, she's good.
And then that dude, that brunette guy.
He is a doctor.
He's from Doctor Who.
He is. Oh, he was the last doctor.
He's the last doctor. Not the one that's now, but he is.
Last doctor.
And and his character is not described. Now get this. His character is not has no name. It's not described in the movie. Article points out that the villain of the movie isn't named, but it's some sort of man-machine hybrid. They cast this guy. He's popular. They won't say who the villain is. It's a man-machine hybrid.
It's him.
With two and two together, Doctor Who guy's the bad guy. He's a machine.
It's going to be him.
So there you go. Thanks a lot, EW. You fucking ruined the whole movie for us. No, we're not going to get it. So there you go. That brings us to the end of the show. We only got a couple things left, Carl. First off, one of my favorite parts whenever we have a guest.
Yeah.
It's time to do the lightning round. I got my little intro.
Lightning round.
Where the hell is it?
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right. Cool, Carl. Time for the lightning round.
Let's do it.
I have here for you 10 questions.
Oh,
snap.
You answer them as quickly as you can, and then we're going to learn a little bit about you, buddy.
Okay.
Drew, please start that lightning round clock.
And begin.
Number one, what bores you?
Boredom.
Number two, what is the hardest thing you've ever had to do?
Wow. Lie to my wife.
Ooh, yeah. Number three, what is your favorite part of the human face?
The eyes.
Number four, would you rather live in the country or in the city?
Ooh, city.
Number five, do you like spicy food?
Yes, I do.
Number six, what kind of vacations do you like?
Beach getaways.
Oh, number seven, what's your earliest memory?
I got burnt by an iron when I was 2 years old.
Man, that's crazy.
That's like everybody's first memory.
I remember getting
burnt by the iron.
Yeah.
What's this?
I remember getting burnt by a hot pot when I was a kid. Yeah. Number eight, if you could learn one random skill, what would it be?
Speaking Japanese.
Oh, number nine, eating donuts or doing donuts?
Eating them.
And number 10, Ryan Seacrest. Do you have an opinion of him?
Rich as fuck.
There you go. Yes, he is.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Swag bag time. Swag Adiso. Oh, we give our guests swag. You know this by now. So you got the green bag with the polka dots. Yes. Pick bag with the polka dots. Which one would you like?
I would go with money green, brother.
There you go. Break out the bag. Let cool Carl know.
Sir,
what? He's won.
You are now the proud owner of shiny crystal stickers.
Nice.
One sheet.
Oh, sheet. Can I put them on my tongue?
check the toxicity warning on that.
We've got you a magic grow octopus. Wow, it grows 600%.
600%.
That's gangsta boogie right there.
Put that thing in your tub.
I like that.
A little bit late, but whatever. Sure. We got you some $1 makeup crayons.
Hey, yeah. Halloween's over now.
Sometimes
but it'll be
I like
back.
To tap into my freaky sack.
Pair of fake teeth to go with that freaky stuff.
Okay. Fake teeth. Jacked up fake teeth there.
Oh, treasure hunt, you now own Lady in the Water.
Nice.
M. Night Shyamalan's Lady in the Water. Fantastic.
I love Lady in the Water.
Enjoy, sir.
Thank you, guys.
M. Night Shyamalan cast himself as the writer who will change the role of this art. Not pretentious at all. Carl, thank you so much for coming on, dude.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh,
thanks for
welcome,
letting me plug my projects,
oh,
man.
Absolutely,
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, when you get more development on the projects, let us know. We'll have you back on. You can let our listeners know what's going on with Trigger,
absolutely.
With the movie videos, music videos. Yeah.
The movie videos. No,
the movie videos as well. Right. The GOAT Underground stuff. I'm looking, looking forward to all that stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carl, very much. I appreciate it.
Underground Battles.
Drew.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Drew.
Thanks, I guess. I guess I'll accept
this
it.
This son of a bitch.
Sure.
You only donated a dollar. That's all you get, Drew.
I didn't donate shit.
So just be happy you got the thank you. Right? Am I right?
Right.
I'm right. All right, guys. We'll be back next week with episode 96 of Cinema Crust Beso with the podcast debut of Nick Sciarrabba.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So stay tuned for that, ladies.